All right. Do we have any guests let in?
So we have Caroline Bennett and Ed Schmidt.
All right, we have Ted, Caroline, anybody else coming in? Okay, 7 o'clock, I'd like to call the October 7, 2020 Newtown Borough Council work session to order. Please join me in a moment of silence, followed by the pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Do we have any amendments to the agenda? Any public to be heard? Okay. Caroline, Ted?
No.
Okay. The mayor is not with us today. He had another engagement, but he has nothing under his report. Judy, do you have any new items that have been very recently added to go into the mayor's report? I have nothing. Okay. All right. I would like to get council's concurrence for some holiday office closures, November 27th. This is the Friday after Thanksgiving. Usually Pat and Judy do take that day off and the office is closed. It's often a holiday that many people take. And then December 24th and December 31st, that would be New Year's Eve and Christmas Eve days, and the staff would take their personal time. So does anybody have any concerns about that? Those are not days that we usually see members of the public coming in looking for assistance.
What do you mean personal time?
Meaning it's not part of their employment agreement, like for example, Labor Day or Memorial Day or official days off. These are not official days off, so they would use their personal time or vacation day to take these days off. So the permission is to have the borough office closed.
Do we need a motion for that?
I don't think so. I think we can just agree to do it. Mike, do we need a motion?
I think if you're just agreeing to do it, that's fine. If there's some disagreement, if there's not, the board is not unanimous or close to not being unanimous, you may want to take a vote. So, okay. But it's not required.
All right. Okay. Thanks. All right. Is everybody okay with that?
I do have one question. I'm perfectly fine with closing it, but I guess I'm a bit surprised that they have to take personal time.
Mm-hmm. It's because those days are not part of the their official holidays.
And how many holidays do they get?
I'd have to look, but it's the usual. It's like the 4th of July, you know, New Year's Day, Christmas Day, Thanksgiving, Labor Day, Memorial Day.
Judy? And I recall a number of years ago that council actually gave the Pat and the secretary at the time additional personal days off so they could use it for things like this. So they mm-hmm. expanded the number of days that were included in their the number of vacation days they would get. So they have, right. It was basically covered.
Net number of personal days.
Okay.
Okay, thanks. Any other questions? Okay, thank you all. All right, let's move on to the solicitor's report.
So we have two action items for you this evening as are listed in the agenda. But just a brief report, and again, if you'll forgive me for a second, not having paper copies in front of me, I'm moving all around here. We've submitted Ordinance 774 that will be considered at the November Council meeting to the Bucks County and Newtown Planning Commission for their review. We're continuing to work on the E-code updates. We're continuing to advise the borough on matters related to the pandemic and how it impacts businesses and the operation of the borough. We have filed our memorandum of law in the First National Bank of versus Newtown Borough appeal, which was the appeal from the HARB appeal. And we've been working with the staff and the police department on various right to know requests and various open record matters.
Thank you.
And then we have the two items for your consideration this evening. One is a motion to adopt resolution 10-7-2020A, approving the Act 537 plan special study.
I move to adopt resolution 10-7-2020A, approving the Act 537 plan special study.
Second.
All right, we've had a motion, we have a second. Any discussion, questions?
Could you refresh our recollection as to the substantive nature of that matter?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this is the update on the Act 537 sewage facilities plan revision, which is due this year. It has some additions to the existing plans. So they're amending the, and if everybody just for the benefit of the public, the Act 537 plan is something that the 13 municipalities of the Bucks County Water and Sewer Authority do at, with the Newtown Joint Municipal Authority, which we often call the Sewer Authority, and that makes that update with the Bucks County Water and Sewer Authority. The way when you you know, run your sink or flush your toilet, it magically disappears and goes down into your sewer lines under your streets, and eventually makes its way down to Neshaminy, where there is this fascinating place called the Neshaminy Intercept, and this is where they come together. And eventually everything goes down to Philadelphia and gets treated in Philadelphia, and then the processed clean wastewater is discharged into the Delaware. And a few years back, I guess this would be 2012, they took a look at it and said, hey, we've got so much development up here, the Intercept can't handle it. We have a moratorium on EDUs, which was basically stop anybody from constructing new bathrooms or facilities that would cause water to run into the sanitary lines. So now with the adoption 2013 of the update on the Act 537 plan, what we do is we contribute any anticipated development to that, and there are recommendations made by the sewer authority as to what they anticipate the needs may be and what types of things should be done. And each municipality that participates in this goes through this process. So this is something that that we're required to do. And this was passed around to council a couple months ago when it went up to the county and so on. So what the additions are, they've identified alternatives for newer improved wastewater disposal facilities. They took the Neshaminy Interceptor evaluation for municipal planning dated March 2015 and revised that. And they've looked at alternatives, including replacing some of sewer lines. And again, this is not necessarily Newtown Borough. This is the entire stretch from here to the city, and putting in some larger diameter pipes to accommodate the development. And there are also some technical changes. So what we are voting to do is adopt this, put our stamp on this agreement with the Bucks County Water and Sewer Authority and our own local sewer authority. There really aren't any major substantive changes. These are updates, and part of it is also they're renewing the agreement. So are there any further questions on that? Right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any nays? Motion passes. Thank you.
And the final action item we have for you this evening is a motion to adopt resolution 10-7-2020B, approving the PennDOT 5-year winter services agreement. And this is essentially an agreement with PennDOT where we plow and salt and maintain during winter storms certain PennDOT roads, and PennDOT compensates us for doing that.
I make a motion to adopt resolution number 10-7-2020B, approving the PennDOT 5-year winter services agreement.
Second.
All right, we've had a motion, we've had a second. Any further questions?
Sue, you want to describe the issue of the insurance that we found today?
But it's not really insurance. One of the requirements that PennDOT has is that we have a policy on business integrity, which we don't currently have. And so Michael Clark was kind enough to send me one that I've been stealing from liberally, and hopefully I will get that sent back to your office tonight, if not certainly early tomorrow. Make sure that since I've changed the format, I haven't lost any of the intent. And then I'll put it in share file and we can review it at our next meeting.
Thank you very much, Sue, for taking the time to do that.
The sure. Essence of that is that there is no exchange of items of value or any other types of consideration between vendors and council and staff and police, et cetera. Mm-hmm. I faced the same issue when I became the clerk of the bankruptcy court because I discovered all these gifts were showing up. And I was the Scrooge that ended Christmas at the bankruptcy court. And so this policy will ultimately prohibit gift giving in either direction. And that's the way it should be. Mm-hmm. So nobody can.
And we haven't been doing that anyway, but it codifies it and makes it clear for PennDOT.
So Susan and I will finish that up and get it back to you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And for the public, that services agreement is the agreement between the borough and PennDOT for us to plow the state roads, Washington Avenue and State Street, and then receive an annual payment from PennDOT for doing that, because they're not about to send out people to plow all their state roads. It's much easier to have the municipalities do it. So this is pro forma.
This week, Susan, myself, and Tara met with our vendor to review that contract, which has been in place for a number of years. And our service agreement is consistent with that agreement with PennDOT. So everything is in place.
All right, very good. Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Motion passes. Thank you.
That concludes our report.
Okay, my phone is ringing in the background. We have a guest with us, Mark Craig from the Planning Commission, and he's going to join us and talk about the survey and get us ready to move it on to actually be ready for the public. So, Marv, I want to hand this over to you to bring Mark in, and I will meet with myself. Thank you.
Yeah. So Mark Craig is the head of the Planning Commission, and they've been working diligently on the comprehensive plan. I think today in general, he's going to give us an update on the project with an emphasis on the surveys, since those are the most aggressive time-wise things that we need to deal with right now. Thank you very much, Mark.
All right. Thank you, Marvin. I think what I'm going to probably be doing is sharing my screen with a number of you so that we can, I can kind of take you through the process that we've gone through so far, because we've been meeting with the Bucks County Planning Commission, our consultants, and I think five of the six of you have been at each one of our meetings. So it's, I think you've primarily, I mean, you're up to speed on what we've been doing, but I wanted to kind of share with you formally what our process has been. First thing, what I wanted to do, if I could, is share with you a document. And if I could find which document it is. That's weird. I wanted to share some, I'll tell you what, maybe I can go like this. I want to share a PDF document, and I'm not sure how I go about doing it. You guys can teach me something on this too, perhaps.
I think Mark probably needs to be made a host in order to share.
Yeah, I was thinking about that.
Yeah, Mark needs to be made a host in order for him to share a document.
Okay.
Well, in our meetings yesterday, we were able to share documents without being a host.
Yeah, I did.
But
I had that.
It depends on the meeting, I think.
I think if you actually open the document on your screen, then you can share the screen as opposed to sharing the document. So if you have the document open on your screen and then...
I do have it open on my screen, but when I clicked on share, it wasn't showing the document.
But you clicked on share screen, Mark?
Document, which is kind of... My screen point is missing. No one sees my screen at this point?
No.
Let me go back. Darn, it worked so good the other day. Share screen. Let me see. Yeah, because what I'm trying to do is I have some open windows that are, PDFs. There we go.
I think Paul has come to help.
What's that?
I think Paul has come to help.
I see her behind
you. I don't really know.
There you go, Mark. It's working now. There you go.
Okay. What I first wanted to share with you is what the Bucks County Planning Commission did. They kind of went through our last comprehensive plan, looked at how things are being done, and suggested to us the format of the plan. And so what I'm showing you on this first item is just the overall plan format, because the plan format is also to some extent dictating how we are actually going to be discussing the plans. Because our meetings consist of a bit of kind of setting the stage, you know, like going over demographics of the community in the area. We've gone through our, you know, What does Newtown look like these days? And we get into some of the things and our resources. And we kind of thought it would be worthwhile for us to push one section over to the EOC, have them look at it and give us some suggestions before we formally went through and reviewed it. And that was done last month. But this is going to be the general format of the comprehensive plan once it's finalized. The process is seen as having a number of meetings over the course of a year. This is I'm going to zoom in on this a little bit, but this is a work plan that was put together by our consultants in this process. And it just documents each monthly meeting as we go through the process and what we're planning to cover. Now, I've sent a note out to all borough committees notifying them that we are having these meetings and noted the work plan so they can look at the work plan. But we've got the work plan that identifies what will be discussed, what's planned to be discussed in upcoming meetings. And it's a real-time document, so we've modified it over as we've gone along. And then we have our agenda that comes on roughly a week before the meetings. So that if members of the committees would like to participate, they've been notified that we're going through this, and then they can go through and look at the agendas or look at the work plan to see if it's something that meets their criteria. if you look at what we've done to date, I mean, we had the initial meeting of, I think it was council and the planning commission we had, and we just discussed a little bit about the process, and then we really kicked off the process in July with our first meeting. At that point, we went through the population characteristics, and they talked about what's the town look like today, and it was, they have a lot of statistics that are available to them. And then we went into the next one we took over. It's usually two or three sections of the comprehensive plan that we review in a meeting. And then we go back and we will revisit them because they're not complete at that point, but they're in process, and then we'll review them again. And once we see the modifications to the sections being made, it may spur our interest and get some additional ideas. The process really doesn't lend itself to go and have joint meetings with council and the planning commission to put a piece of the plan to bed, because it's best look at the final product and put it to bed that way. Okay. At council's request, what we did was we moved the survey, meaning the survey of borough businesses and residences, we moved that up in the calendar. The original plan, I think the original work plan had it in maybe meeting five that we would have the survey. And council had asked if we could move it up, and we did so. And we had a meeting on that. Council actually looked at a copy of that at a special session. We reviewed our changes, and then also the suggestions that council had made, and we incorporated them. And just yesterday, we had our final meeting where we went through the rest of the survey, and we feel that we have it in pretty good, complete form. And we've addressed all of council's points, and I think, and we've incorporated the suggestion questions that council had. They were pretty good questions. And what I thought it would be good to do today is to go through the survey. Does that make sense to anyone? Does anyone have any questions about the process till now? Okay. And I guess I could see if someone is... someone to speak up if they have a question, I guess. What we'll be doing is giving you kind of test driving the survey, and what we see in our overview today is how the actual user will see it. There will be certain things that are different because the, I can't see anyone now. So if someone, you're going to have to speak up, because seeing everyone's face distracted me as I was looking at this screen. But what you will be seeing is exactly what someone taking the survey will be seeing. Now, the Bucks County Planning Commission is somewhat new to them as well as to us giving an online survey, but it makes all the sense in the world to do it online, versus having to mail out surveys, receive them and collate them and tabulate and all that, because the form will actually do it for us. So we have one survey that was put together for the residents and one for the businesses. And if you would just take a moment to read the paragraphs here, we've
Mark, can I interrupt you for a moment?
Yes, ma'am.
We're still seeing the chart with the tab.
What? Oh, I thought I could switch the.
Yeah, we're not looking at the survey.
Well, I'm glad.
Bring the survey up on your screen.
Is there some way that I can change that?
Maybe you can you try to X out of this, and so you're seeing it on your screen.
I'm seeing it on my screen is a thing.
That's interesting.
Sharing has stopped, so I closed the document I was sharing, so let me see if I could do that. All right. No, that's not it.
Yeah, we're...
But you still can't see what I have here.
You just saw like all your agendas, your...
I'm just trying to find here. Now you should be seeing it, right?
Yes.
Okay. I'm sorry, I was talking, thinking I could just flip through pages without, if I flip to another survey, you'll be able to see this though, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. All right.
You got it.
All right. I was looking at this before we have it. We have a little disparity in fonts, and on the Newtown Borough Resident Survey, it says Newtown Borough Resident, and the business survey, and the font sizes are slightly different. But I thought what I'd do is, if you just have a chance to read through here, we're all comfortable with the wording here. It's not complete because we don't have a survey complete day, but we'll get to that towards the end. And just speak up if you have a question of me on some of these, and I have to get my pen and make my notes about these changes. Okay, are there any changes that we need to put in this? Because they can be incorporated into the survey quite easily and quickly. All right, mind if I go on?
Please do.
Following the preamble, we just go right into the questions. And there's a mixture of essay questions, ones where they can actually enter a response, and radio buttons. I think on this one, on the first one, we asked how old they are. We added a few more categories. You see these little informational things, they should be gone when the final survey is done. It's just something that happens to be in the draft format. I mean, if I click on it, it gives me the comments on the side. And that's just an in-process type of thing. So that won't distract a user as they're going through. Second question, we took out a lot of the demographic information, and we took out any type of reference of one survey per household, because we really don't care if they do multiple surveys. It is going to, the program itself actually doesn't allow more than one survey from one device, which is geared towards keeping a single person from doing other, multiple surveys. But if two people want to do it, they have to be on two different devices, and we'll just have to deal with that as we go forward. And maybe we could even put a note in there. Okay, we have the education. And then one thing about having additional data points in here, then you can start compiling the information, you know, like what do the people with the master's and professional degrees see as our biggest issues versus the people with just a bachelor and below or something, someone without a college degree. And it's interesting there. We decided that demographics, male, female, didn't make quite as much of a difference, and we opted to take it out, but something that could be back in there, because you notice we don't ask if you're male or female or any other type of how you identify yourself. We did have a question in there we took out last night that asked how many house members in the household, because we figured the next question would cover that, and we'd be able to accumulate it from there. Then we have the rent or own type of residences. Where do they work? And we've added some additional categories. I mean, I think at one point we had neglected other southeastern Pennsylvania counties. We just had Philadelphia, Bucks County, and New Jersey and New York, and we forgot about all the other Pennsylvania places. So we fixed that. We talked about how they get to work. Some people may work from home. Some people we separated car from rideshare. Why people came to Newtown Borough, I think we have on an other, and we have a chance, you know, for them to add. And we've got chances for them to add comments in, you know, as they go along too. And you know, how long have they lived in the borough? We have a number of different ranges that probably is adequate for, you know, for putting together graphs and summaries. It's easier to do it in these ranges than, I'm not sure how easy, if they actually entered a number, whether it would be, I don't know how easy it is to compile it, but they suggested doing it this way. Do you plan on retiring Newtown? We thought this was a decent question, and getting their comments on it, people's comments, could be informative.
Mark 10 is missing a question mark at the end of it.
Which one?
10.
Oh, do you plan on retiring? Thank you. All right. And then we have very good to very poor as our range in a number of these different things, you know, quality of life, and ask them why they made their answer. What transportation do they do to get around? This is different than work, but it's a similar type of question. There's some of them that you'll notice that have an asterisk next to them. And I don't think I've gotten to an asterisk question yet. No. We want them to actually answer with multiple choices. And there's an asterisk on there. It's kind of like those things, this question must be answered, but it actually is meaning that you must have, in this case, your top three reasons. We considered five in some of these, and some of them with a lot of things, especially in the business survey, we said, give us your top five. And this one we thought top three would be worthwhile. And so as we start compiling, we'll have a lot more data points of what's important to people in the community. So this was the, you know, what initiatives could we have to improve, enhance public safety? We want them to push three, not one. But, you know, that just gets more things on the table when we start to understand. And one of their three could be other, too. Would you want to see tax money redirected to enhance the public safety initiatives? I like this next one, the way it's formatted. It got a little very short.
Mark?
Yes, ma'am.
Quick question about 13 and 14. Are they specific to Newtown Borough? Because you don't see that.
Yes.
In the, okay.
This whole survey is specific to Newtown Borough.
I understand.
So, yeah. And I mean, the only people that would be answering it that, well, there shouldn't be anyone that answers it that doesn't live in Newtown Borough. We're getting into the whole opportunity for people that don't live here to fill it out. But I mean, we're not going to be able to keep them from doing so, but it's intended for only people in the borough. Okay. How satisfied are you? It talks about boroughs, the services.
Could you go back to the one that talked about utilization of tax dollars? I wanted to see the verb. Why wouldn't you use the word applied to enhance instead of redirected? Because redirected means you're taking money from something that we all may want to some other purpose.
Well, it's not necessarily a valid assumption to say you want that. I think if what you're saying is, would you like us to raise taxes so that we could provide additional public safety initiatives? I mean, it's. I think we could change it to say, be applied or redirected, and we could do that. But redirected implies that you're dealing with a finite number of dollars, and apply means you're dealing with more of an infinite number, infinite dollars, or dollars that you can just pull from somewhere else.
But the gross revenue in the budget is a variable and not a fixed number. It varies on the level of the earned income, money coming through the liquid fuel tax. So the number isn't solid. It's never.
No, it's solid. I mean, it's from a budgeting process. It really is solid. It does vary as the year goes on, but from creating a budget, you're actually creating a budget, and you're spending from that budget. And I doubt that you're going to say, I think we're going to come up with, we're going to get more money in. If we do that, we're going to spend it elsewhere. And maybe you do. I don't know. But when I was on council, we came up with our budget, and if there were expenses that came about that would require our dollars, we'd see if there's any other dollars available. But we could change this to read applied or redirected. I mean, I mean, I guess I'm somewhat agnostic on the wording on that one.
Does anybody else have any other thoughts? I do see what
you prefer redirected, because that, you know, lets the person know that it's a choice. You know, do you is this important enough that something else, you know, might potentially suffer?
It makes it a little bit more,
you know, skin in the game than just saying, oh, just anything you want.
Mm-hmm. I don't think it hurts to put both in, but.
You mean applied or redirected?
Yeah, I mean, just to add both so that, because then.
Well, I guess it would be not applied, but raised, tax money raised or redirected. Because that would imply that we might have to raise taxes in order to do these.
And then somebody might answer it differently. They might say,
they might.
No, I don't want my money raised, but if you can make it work in the budget, I would love to see X, Y, and Z traffic calming initiative, for example.
Correct.
So
they might answer differently if you change the wording. Absolutely.
Yeah. The point is, anything that the borough does, it does with tax money, because we don't have any other source of income. So I think I agree that if you want to know whether people are willing to not fund something so they could fund these, then that's how your question should be written. The other way, it doesn't make any sense. Unless you want to say, are you willing to pay more taxes in order to have these public safety initiatives? I think you need to be specific.
Because
we have no other source of income.
Yeah, and we want to see what people's values are. Like, if it's really important to a lot of people to do certain things, then we get that feedback. It gets incorporated into the comprehensive plan, and it is something that we know that the public wants tax money to go towards.
Right.
Yeah, I don't want people to say, I don't know what you think about this, Bob, but my concern would be that if somebody saw that it could need a tax increase, they might just say no. When in fact, if it was like a redirection.
I think that a lot of people see, geez, you're gonna raise my taxes to do these. Well, I might not like all those things. No, I'd like you to do it with my existing. I think you'll get more no's if you said you'd like higher taxes to address these public safety initiatives.
So
by doing a redirection, you're not getting a full expression of somebody's real concerns.
How so?
Because then you're forcing people to make a choice. Should we clean the streets or should we hire more police? That's not the issue. The question is, do you feel safe? And if you don't feel safe, what should we do about it? This is not pick one for your menu. This is, what is your real concern?
Well, we asked them their concern before, and, you know, in the previous question about public safety, and the question was intended to say, okay, if you're interested in that, would you like to see the tax money be redeployed that way?
Well, why are you limiting it to public safety initiative as compared to any other reason?
Because that's what this topic is, and these two questions.
Okay, yeah, that was going to be my question too, Bob. So is the redirection of tax money stated anywhere else on the survey?
No, we don't have any other redirection of tax money elsewhere in the survey. Just for public safety initiatives.
Is there a word that can just be general, like used, which is very simple, but could imply not raising your taxes and just redirected or raised? And it could be any of those things, depending on what it was and how much of it you were doing. If we just said used. I mean, it's very simple.
Well, I think you get almost everyone say yes in that question. Because if there's infinite money that people have, they're going to say, oh, yeah, we wanted that money because.
It is not infinite money, as we all know.
Yeah, so, I know.
Yeah. So, I mean,
you're dealing with a finite number of dollars at the end of the day, and public safety happens to be one of the major issues that we have in town, and there's a lot of different things that affect public safety.
And the other thing is, we take what we get, it goes to the comprehensive plan, we decide in the near future and the far future what are things we want to do. And so, Bob, for example, if a lot of people really wanted to put in serious calming initiatives or bike lanes or whatever it is, something that is going to cost like a lot of money and perhaps more money than we can get, and you know, obviously there's grants, but you might actually know that, wow, the public is so keen and interested on this that it might be something that some future council might actually decide to make a line item for, make a dedicated tax for, and that it might become something, in which case it could be, you know, applied rather than right. redirected. But initially it's redirected.
Right. I like the way that was stated. You guys are the have the final say on the wording of this. It's just, I just think if you're going to put, would you like to see tax money to enhance these things? People are going to say, you'll get probably all yeses because these are all things that would be seen as functions that the borough should be working at, right?
Right, but you have to choose. Bob, how do you feel about leaving it as redirected? But it is the kind of thing that we're aware that, hey, a lot of people are really interested in something, and maybe, you know, you have to increase the light millage or something like that.
You know, sometimes after you listen to the discussion, you change your view, and I think we should leave it as is, because I now understand that the purpose of this question is to gauge or take the temperature of the residents as to their safety concerns. And if it's that important, do they want us to change the budget to apply more to that particular item? So I think we should just leave it the way it is.
All right. Thank you, Bob.
But thank you. Thank you, Mark, because I think the discussion was important to understand what we're trying to achieve in the question.
Okay.
And I think you guys must have done a lot of thinking. And with the explanation, I'm satisfied with the verb. Thank you.
Okay. Does anyone else still have a problem?
I'm fine.
Okay. Shall I move on? I think we did go through this. How satisfied are you with the borough services? I think we'll get some feedback on that.
Can we go back and look at the topics?
Yeah, we.
There's nothing in there about trees and. Because we have this whole thing with the Shade Tree Commission and protection of the trees and Arbor Day, all this sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. Should the tree issue be brought into this topic or not?
It could be. Very easily. I mean, if it's really important to people, and I'm not sure how we title it.
Could do environmental.
Yeah, environmental doesn't necessarily deal with trees. I think you're referring to more like shade trees, right, Bob?
Yeah, because we've had a lot of loss of trees in the public, in between the curbs and the sidewalks. We've lost a lot of trees in the last 5 years. Without replacing them. Now, some neighbors have, some haven't, but we've lost our canopy 20-30% in the last 10 years. And that affects the environment of the entire community. So the shade tree issue is important here.
I'm fine. I mean, I think it's very important to a lot of people, I think.
Yeah.
But that's not a considered a community service. And I think this is asking whether the services that the borough is providing, are they satisfactory? Okay, that's different than, are there enough trees in town?
Okay,
that's
that may be
a completely different
trees. Question. Maybe we'll belong someplace else.
I mean, okay. I can see Bob's point. Shade trees have always been a sticky point to me because I think the state law says that homeowners have to pay for putting them in and taking them out, and boroughs and townships are responsible for trimming them. And if we had to trim everyone's tree, I don't think we could ever afford it. So it's one of those really touchy topics.
Well, I guess that's why I was saying environmental, just because, I mean, we are a forest, whether or not, like, that's, I mean, that's how the Arbor Day Association does consider us to be. And I guess I thought if you said something more general than just shade trees, that maybe we could just see people's interests. I don't know. But
I'm coming around to you.
Maybe there's another question further on that it fits into.
I don't think it does, but I'll just make a note of 15 and we'll come back to it.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, here's another one of those, the top five in this case, we asked them.
Okay, here's a place where there could be shade trees.
Right, okay.
Shade trees, yes, thank you.
All right, what are the top five issues you'd like to be better addressed? And maybe you put the street trees in here.
Yep.
I mean, sidewalks.
Streetscape and landscape.
We went through a whole gamut of topics. Well, I'm going to go through them in two different tranches so I don't keep on playing with it. So you read through it here.
Why is school in there at all?
I'm trying to find out where school is.
It's farther on down.
Oh, okay.
We have no control over that.
No, we don't. We don't.
But I think it's just to gauge whether or not school districts are important to people. I mean, isn't it a pretty general question?
What are the top five issues that you see better addressed in the borough? I mean, we do have a school board representative that we share with the township. And it could be seen like school. It might say, hey, we should take a more active role in getting a borough person in the representative seat. It isn't something that we control as a borough government because we have a separate school board. But I can't tell you specifically why we have it in there per se, because it's been in there from the very beginning and it seemed logical to us as it went through, but you're the first person that questioned it, Bob.
Plus if you look at your tax bill, the school district takes out 85% of all the taxes you pay. Yep. And we have no control over that spending.
This isn't a question about spending, but maybe it's getting the school district to spend more money, you know, fighting to get the school district to spend better, more money on bus routes for our children in the borough. And we've had to fight over bus routes in the past, because at one point, Council Rock wouldn't bus anyone in the borough.
Right.
Because we were too close to the schools and we could all walk. And in fact, we don't have sidewalks going all the way to the school.
Let's leave it in there and see what happens.
Okay. Let's see.
So the people that we're talking about, you know, street trees, is streetscape and landscape enough? Or do you want to, I mean, you could always add, you know, street trees, streetscape, and landscape, if you want that particular word in there. Probably streetscape and landscape is enough in my thought, but open to others.
I would go trees, comma, streetscape and landscape, just to put the word tree in.
That's fine. I'll do that. Let me see.
I'm good with that.
And I think it fits in the, we have to maybe move it down to put in alphabetical order, though.
Question. This is going to be a weird year. I'm going to go back to the school district. And I think there's a point, because we have limited control. What if a lot of people take it? What if a lot of people take it because they're like pissed at how the school district did their surveys on who's doing hybrid and who's staying at home and who's going off 5 days, and they're pissed at the school board for doing 5 days too soon and not giving the hybrid a chance, or they're pissed at the school board for not having 5 days soon enough because their kids are stuck at home and they hate it. And they tick that. Then we come back to it and we say, okay, we're making our 10-year comprehensive plan. And how do we interpret that? What do we look at it when they tick that box? How do we know what they mean? Because it is true, we have limited control over it. And I'm not saying to take it out, but I am wondering, part of me is wondering if we should take it out, because how do we interpret it? And there's a lot going on right now in the school district now. And a lot of people unhappy for various reasons. So say a lot of them ticket, then like they check all that off. What do we do with a comprehensive plan then?
Well, if we sit back and we talk about what we can realistically have the major impact on, it's certainly not school district mm-hmm. or teaching or methods, but we could as a borough rise up and speak with a bigger voice than any one of our individual residents. I mean, that's true.
Absolutely. And we could advocate. Is there a space at the bottom for that? I can't recall now for adding.
No, it's just other, and that would be one of the five. That's one of the touchy things here. I thought, oh, could you put other and have it as a sixth topic? And no, there isn't. We could possibly just put, instead of other, having one to, would you like to explain your answer and not have it as a radio or anything, just another thing on the bottom over here.
Yeah, and there might be another that shows up, or you could say other slash further details on
your. Well, the problem with the way the survey is created, mm-hmm. that the other becomes one of their choices. It's not modifying one of their choices. It's actually one of the five choices.
I see. Then they take that. Right.
So I talked through it a little bit last night about it, and we just came to the conclusion, okay, well, if they only have four, they can put other and put down something else. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't give us a chance to explain any of these in more detail. And we could put something, would you like to explain your answer, and put quotation with an S in there, you know, answers in more detail, and just have another shaded box on below, and it wouldn't.
Yeah, I think that's a terrific idea, because there may be things where somebody there's a certain thing that they think it needs, you know, work done or changes, and they want to clarify what it is. So they might feel that senior housing opportunities are actually great, but on a side note, they have a particular concern, and that's why they marked it. So I like that
suggestion, and it will still be part of question 16. Mm-hmm. But after other, there will be a question in there that says, would you like to explain your answer, your selections in more detail?
That sounds great. Thank you.
Okay. Because I don't think many of the others warrant that type of thing, but this could be. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
Then we go on. So on this question, I just changed the trees, and I put that other question in there with the dialogue box or a you know, fill in box. Where do you get your news? Just interested in how people are learning about local and the world, but mostly local.
You don't have...
This is local.
You don't have John's Barbershop and Hair Salons here.
Well, that would be an other.
Okay. You'd be surprised what we learn.
No, that's actually in word of mouth.
Okay.
And sometimes at John's Barbershop, people don't know so much of what's going on in the borough either. Where do you get your goods and services? Kind of trying to get them an idea where they shop. If they go by on the borough, the township, and Oxford Valley online, it really is, you know, it's all other kind of thing, and they can figure it out. I mean, we could go crazy on. It doesn't really make so much difference if they buy in New Jersey or New York or down in Philadelphia.
Craig,
so we just figured elsewhere if they specified and they made a list of things, that's great. And then people will be happy that they were able to do that.
Does the Newtown Township reference imply the shopping center?
It pretty much implies that.
Okay. Thank you.
Do you think the borough provides enough age-appropriate recreation service? I think this is one where the council had said, asked us to widen the different, you know, make additional categories here. Okay. I mean, we'll probably get a lot of no's because we don't apply that many things, and the people of 55 plus can't play in the jungle gyms.
Mm-hmm. Hey, wait, Mark, Mark, before you go on, scroll back up. It says, do you think the borough provide? Oh, never mind. I was like, does the borough provide? And I misread the beginning and I thought the S didn't, but it's good. It's good. Never mind.
Should the word borough be capitalized?
You know, I go back and forth on these kind of things. If it's a proper name, you should be capitalized. We could do that. But then if we use the word borough when it's not our borough, then you've got some capitalized boroughs and some not, you know?
Okay. I'll leave that up to your editors.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, I think it's like saying the town.
It's kind of like borough council. Borough council is a proper noun, but sometimes I capitalize it and sometimes I don't. I don't have any reason to rhyme a reason when I do it. Here's our single hauler. We modified ours. There was a lot of discussion in our meeting. Bill Heineman had some thoughts on it, and we just wanted to ask if they'd like us to discuss it. I think you guys are already discussing this too.
Should it be single or fewer, or just single? Right now we have five.
I think the big decision is going to a single hauler, and that's what he was recommending. You know, as a much more limited action, we could decide to limit the number of them. But the big question, the big consideration is for the residents and to put into our plan. If we decide that, you know, we aren't allowing any more than four or something like that, then I think we can just do that and doesn't really need to be a comprehensive plan issue.
I mean, if we change the question, should the borough consider restricting the number of haulers, I think you're going away from what you're trying to get information on today, and that is, should we get a single hauler program or should the borough contract directly with them on behalf of residences? Isn't that right?
Yeah. And that's what, you know, there was a lot of that discussion with Bill Heineman, and that's kind of what he came up with the Planning Commission. Right. So are you good with that, Bob?
Yes, very much.
All right, I kind of call it obligatory. Should we expand the borough historic district? This is one where she didn't get a map of the historic district. A little map over here of the historic district, and we can do that before it's finally published. That way people can see the road outlines, because it's not exactly there aren't isolated areas, but some areas that people might think are part of the historic district are not. Some people might think East Center is in the historic district, but it doesn't extend past Lincoln and north of Jefferson, you know. But we're planning to put a map in here. So while this is kind of our final questions, we don't have the graphic in there. And then I think some of these are, I don't know if these are your questions or not, but just a chance for people to talk about what they like about the borough, what they could change about the borough, and do they have additional comments. I think these all really derive from things that you guys have suggested.
Mark, I got a question.
Yeah.
When the U.S. Census information comes out next year, will that help us with this survey? To understand it?
Well, you know, we have the survey, potentially. We currently have census type information that the county keeps up to date. And they came up with pretty good statistics on, you know, ongoing basis, kind of real time statistics. It'll just be a lot more accurate when the census comes out. I think it probably won't be dramatically different. That would change our analysis though.
Okay, thanks.
And that brings us to the end of the residential survey. I could go through some of the comments that you guys had or not. Would you like me to? because you talked about demographic questions, gender, age, and we education level we thought was important. Gender, age didn't really make a difference. I mean, age, we didn't want to, didn't seem necessary to ask the person that was actually filling out the survey their age, but we did want to know the ages of the people in households. Education level, though, will impact how people see their the requested services and things too. And you might have some kids that want us to have the most elaborate things, and you know, it's someone that's, you know, younger doing it.
You earlier remarked that you can only have one survey per device. I think we should tell people that.
I will. I think you're right, and I've got to figure out where. I mean, it'll be up in this in the top here.
Right.
And we will modify that, and because some people will be discouraged, and others will go from their computer to their phone, but. You know, some of us in the elderly class, speaking of myself, might not be, may not be computer literate. They might say, we only have one per household.
All right. And what will happen is if it's not clear, people will call Judy and say, I did it. And I tried to teach my husband, daughter, son to do it. And they couldn't do it. And it's not working. And what's on? And then Judy's going to have to field these calls. So making it clear.
We were thinking that we would just avoid the, we don't want to discourage multiple, but we don't want a family of six having six surveys necessarily, because there's going to be a lot of repetition. Mm-hmm. But I really don't know if the more is the merrier. I mean, I like to have all the households done, but if you have big households, they can skew it, right?
Yeah, I did like the point, that from a very different view, you know, you have a parent, you might have an adult child, you might have grandma living with you, and so that they might actually have different interests and perspectives on it. So having multiple per household, but like at the same time, like you said, if you had a family of six, you don't need somebody filling it out for their second grader and their fourth grader.
Right.
I think it's unlikely that, two people try and do it on the same device. I mean, there are lots of devices in houses. So it might happen infrequently.
I would think that there are a lot of people that share computers. They have a family computer, and they might be doing it on the family computer. I think a lot of people are going to do it on their phones, because when you get to see the postcard, we're going to have this QR code, and they can take a picture with their phone, and it'll take them to the survey.
That's so cool.
And so that, people won't necessarily be going onto their home computer to do it, but they can. Okay.
Mark, how do you get the people's emails to send this to them?
We're going to discuss distribution, but we're not sending it to them. We have some emails, and we will send them notification and how to go about doing it. But by and large, we're going to be sending them the ability to go online. And we'll be directing them. I'm going to cover that at the end, because you guys, since there's a cost associated with it, I want you guys to hold the purse strings. Okay? Make sense?
One of the background items dealing with that is if down the road we're able to create an emergency alert system where we want to get people's emails, for example, water main break on Washington or gas leak on Penn, where we need to alert people on an emergency basis down the road, we think we can, through the web page, create an alert system, but it only works if the people tell us how to communicate with them.
No, I understand, but I think you're outrunning your blockers on this particular situation.
Okay.
And Shiva said, right now we can't. That's purely done through the county to do that kind of emergency alert.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that's going to be evolving over the next few years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So how does everybody feel about the survey? I think it looks great,
I think they did a great job.
I think we're in a solid spot.
Okay. Well, we got a couple changes. We got the map in there. On 16, we've got the adding the trees. We've got the additional comment box. We've got the map about on the historic district, and we've got a note on the very top that's going to refer to the multiple user. If multiple users will be completing the survey, each will have to do so from a different device. Okay.
Well done, Mark.
All right, thank you. And then, you know, we'll get to the actual date of survey completed by a little bit later here. Here's the business survey, and I'll let you read here. Who's ever the slowest reader, tell me you're done.
Again, is this only for businesses within the jurisdictional boundary of the borough?
Yep, okay. Only for them. And it will be mailed only to them. We do have a list of them and we do mailings to them.
Do you distinguish between a landlord and the tenant?
We have them covered in the survey. We talk okay. about business, do you own your building is one of the questions. If someone is working at a store and they fill it out, we really can't prevent them from doing so. You know, whoever gets the mail for the business kind of thing.
No, but if you're mailing it to a business at, let's say, 10 State Street, how do you know you're getting to the property owner who's the landlord of a commercial property?
Well, we're not necessarily saying we have to, because we have questions down here. Are you the property owner or are you a renter? Because a lot of these addresses, these business owners, I mean, there may be a property owner that owns a number of businesses. This is not, I mean, you bring up a good point though. This is not a survey directed at property owners of business that own businesses. It's directed at the business owners. So I don't know how, quite honestly, we would do a survey directed at the property owners. I think we get Luciano and Alan Smith filling out half the surveys.
And Mr. Adamsko.
Does he own a bunch of things?
Yeah, he owns a bunch of them.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But so we didn't address who owns the actual physical building. We just ask the business owner if they own their building, but it's all going to be anonymous anyway.
Right, because it is a survey of businesses and not a survey of landlords, right?
Right.
So landlord and a business.
As long as we know that going forward.
I'm curious about this list of businesses that we have.
Yeah.
What's the source of that?
The Newtown Borough. Judy's got a list of 960. It's not just tax parcels, because some of them are apartment numbers and things. Right. Judy, maybe you can explain.
So it's basically the same mail list that we had generated when we started with the semi-annual borough newsletter. It is basically every, you know, property that is in Newtown Borough.
But for businesses.
They're part of them. They're all in that same list.
Right. So, you know, every tax parcel, that's going to include all the State Street towns, you know, those State Street businesses within our town center, they are all tax parcels.
Well, sorry.
But I think it's a little more discreet than that, Judy, because yeah. I was looking at that list today, and you had apartment numbers, and those would be different apartment numbers within the same tax parcel, I think.
Also, it's a lot of addresses and not like a lot of emails and phone numbers.
But also, back to the list, I don't understand the list. I have a business. I'm not on a list anywhere. So I don't know where this list is coming from.
Well,
I generated the list from you know, information that we have in Borough Hall. Trying to remember what I did last year, but I'm pretty sure I generated it from what we call a geo plan, which doesn't mean anything to you guys, but it's basically by parcel.
Well, we can ask the Mercantile Group to supplement our list.
Well, if you're worried about being able to fill out a business survey, you're going to be directed to the site where you can't. Isn't the postcard, Mark, going to say if you have a business, you can also fill out a business survey?
Yeah.
So you have the option of doing both.
You can do both.
Yeah, right. And if you're a resident in the town, So Sue, you would get a postcard that says there's a survey, and you go to the website and pick both of them. You can do the resident, and then you can go back and do the business.
That's 100%.
And there is a question about whether it's a home, you have a home business. That's one of the questions in the survey.
I know there is. Thank you to clarify it, because that's not at all what I understood from Mark. So that's good. Thanks.
I have a quick question. What about houses of worship?
Judy?
You know, I have to look, but I'd have to look to make sure before I could really respond. I think when I generated that list, I basically, like I said, took every single tax parcel and included it, whether they're being taxed or not, because, right, the house of worship is not being taxed.
But it's a tax parcel.
But it has a tax parcel number, correct.
That's why I bet set it down to let us to handle it for a week.
I think that's a really good point, though, that Caroline had there, because that they're not a business the way you think of a business, you know, that's earning money for profit, and they're not like a nonprofit organization that runs like a business. But they do have that view, you know, who are the people who come to them, what is it like for them to operate, what are their needs, what are their concerns. So I think making sure we get them too would be great.
Tell Steve that I couldn't get on his meeting tonight because I have borough council going on right now.
Somebody's either talking in the background or they're talking to
Sure. You just need to mute Bob.
Okay.
Oh, Bob's on the
phone. So that I understand. So is the concern that we don't want the postcard to arrive at a house of worship because they are neither resident nor business, or is it that we do want it to get there? I mean, I'm kind of confused as to what that concern
was. That we want it to get there. We want to make sure that they're included and we hear their voices.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a church, you're a house of worship, maybe they do a residential survey. I don't know. I'm opening the list right now to see, but okay. I can't say I know the addresses of the house of worship in town either. Because it doesn't give a name on these. It's just generic. It's just addresses.
Right. I can check and I can let you know, and you know, everybody that's interested is welcome to look at the list that I sent to Mark.
Yeah, I mean, you could share it with the rest of the council members. Okay. Shall we go down here? We have a similar question on how long they've been in town. Where are you located is something that we kind of stewed over a little bit. We thought about at one point having a little map here with either quadrants or show where the things are, but we figured we covered most of the businesses over here. You got South Lincoln Avenue. There's a bunch of those over there. State Street, meaning State Center and Penn. Washington Avenue and Barclay Street has a number of those back over, you know, a lot of the condo businesses back there. And then a lot of people have home occupations.
How about the stocking?
They can always specify it because there aren't that many others after those.
Isn't the stocking works a major?
It's on State Street and it's not in, it's on State Street.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay.
And we are considered South State Street and North State Street, or the business district of State Street. We just settled on State Street. I mean, there might be some differences in businesses, but we thought this was inclusive enough. And the other doesn't cover that many different types of businesses or specific businesses. Okay, type of business. we thought it important enough to separate personal services because we have so many of those types of things these days. Three biggest challenges. See this, we got the asterisk here. They have to pick three and no less than three and no more than three. So It's for compilation perspective. And a question at one point was,
to consider the idea of separating out customer parking and employee parking.
Yeah, we've got that in the we've done that. We've done it on the where do we have customer? We have customer and employee parking here in terms of five most important that we could do to improve their ability, but we didn't put it in from a business perspective. We didn't separate out customer and business. I mean, we could do it. And if the question may come up about why are we looking 3 years if we're doing a 10-year plan? And our consultant said that most people don't look beyond 3 years. And if you ask them to look by 10 years, they may not know what they're from their business perspective, they're looking more short term than what they'd like to see done.
60% of new businesses don't last 3 years.
Yeah, but these are the existing businesses that are getting this one. So we'll see that. I mean, we can see what the responses from the 1 to 5 year old businesses would be versus the ones that have been here 25 to 30 years, you know.
In question four, you could make two parkings, one parking customer, one parking employee.
Yeah, that's what we did in like question six, and we could separate that too.
And that makes sense, and it's consistent.
Yeah. Because one of the things that I've been talking to the business people about is differentiating what is the time period that they need for their customers, and that varies depending upon if you're a salon or a deli or a barbershop, whatever, hardware store, versus the employees who may be multiple hours or an all day.
That's fine. We'll do that on the same as we did on the subsequent question. Okay. We asked them where they live. And I think it's pretty much the same as the locations of where do they work. And we had us had Montgomery County instead of other southeastern PA as of last night, so we switched it. Here we asked for five most important things that Newtown Borough could do to improve your ability to operate. This is where we actually do separate business and customer parking. Like we're
in Mark, and you have please chose five. We need to add them.
Good point. Thank you.
Could you show us the bottom of that question?
Yeah, I'm gonna go to the next. I just wanted to do it. I didn't want to continue scrolling. I wanted to do it in different tranches. I'm just making a note right now. Okay. If you think there are other categories, feel free to throw them out. Okay. And this one we asked for them to do five because there are so many of them. Do we do online retail sales? This is a good question in today's market. It's an evolving one, but after COVID, I imagine there's going to be a lot more yeses. If you do conduct them, there we go. We're going on that. I mean, this is, I'm sure 10 years ago, we didn't have this question, but I can't remember. Okay. The same thing about, your customers, where you do your shopping, where are your customers from? Same type of thing.
Number 10, are you missing the blocks?
Circle? Number 10. No, this one, in number 10, we're looking for numbers. And it's got to add up to 100. Responses must add up to 100. We're asking them to allocate a percent how they would like to see physical improvements. We're asking them to think. Okay. So we're not missing any boxes, but we can only put in, I'm speaking before I do it, but I think I can only put numbers in here. No, I can. So I want to make sure there are only numbers that are allowed, and they can probably do that. So I'll make sure that that's the case.
Maybe it throws an error when you click submit.
Yeah, and I can't click submit here, I think. Let me see. If I just do 80 and 10, well, I can't submit the survey. So, yeah, it'll draw attention if it doesn't add up to 100. And if you put in letters, it'll say it doesn't commute too. But I'll make sure that only numbers are allowed. Part of my old life type of stuff, making sure you don't have errors. So in this one, we wanted to allocate how they would, we could do this. Just this is a way for them to show their, how they would prioritize it. And it's probably helpful. Not that we get a huge amount of income from individual businesses. I mean, it might be a good question for residences too, you know. It probably may be a better one for residents.
Well,
because these guys don't contribute much in tax revenue.
Will this also go to the water company and the sewer authority?
I don't really know for sure. I mean, if it's on the list that Judy has, it will. Business climate raises a question. Why don't we do all of the questions with the very good, good, fair, and poor with these radio buttons across? And that's probably a good question. I probably should ask, because on the residence one, we took them vertical versus horizontal like this. We got to rent or own. Are you a member of? We don't have that many business organizations in town, and Rotary is a service organization for businesses. So it's a business-oriented service organization. But there used to be other business organizations, and they're not around anymore, or maybe one. I think we had a State Street Association or something.
Do you think it'd be interesting to add the fire company there to find out how many volunteers we have in the business community?
I don't think that really is so relevant on a business survey.
Okay.
We went through the spending questions. We took out one about taxes because really these guys don't contribute much to taxes. They really don't. I mean, that the 1% tax is paid by their employees. They feel it to the extent their employees feel it. But if they own the business, then they're paying the borough real estate taxes, which isn't really that great. So we don't want them to think we have infinite dollars that we can spend on them. So we thought this was important. Are they willing to spend money on streetscape and landscape improvements? And hence we did this.
Right, the property owners are the ones that pay the real estate taxes. And
well,
they
property owners, but indirectly the renters do too. But the majority of the real estate taxes go to the county and the school district.
Well, so the property owners pay the real estate tax. The renters probably feel as though, well, and they are indirectly helping to pay those real estate taxes through their rent, right?
Yes.
And then you're right. The employees pay the 1% earned income that does go to the borough and.
Right. Well, it's just, you know, the amount that that goes to the borough from each individual business. I think if we ask them about are their taxes too high, they would say, of course, yes. And they wouldn't be talking to us because, mm-hmm. you know, each one of them probably wants $200 to $300 to $400 worth of services from the borough, and they're not paying that much more in taxes, you know?
The only place their businesses are concerned with the payment of permit fees.
True.
And permit parking. Those are the only sources we can auxiliary tax.
Yeah, so they are. They are. And then I think the 15 and 16 are two of the questions that Borough Council had asked about.
I think 16 just grammatically, if you said if there was one thing, or if there is one thing.
I think is one thing because we're looking at what we could do now. Mm-hmm.
English, grammatical way of saying that would either be if there were one thing or to mm-hmm. say, is there one thing?
You're correct. Yeah.
You would like to change.
So what would it be? Right. Or if there were one thing. Because you have what?
If there were.
Okay.
Yes, yeah, so I would put were. Yeah.
How about if I change it? I like, were there one thing instead of if there is one thing? Sure. Does that satisfy you? I think that makes sense.
I'm good.
Okay. And that's the business survey. And from the last time you all had gone through it, we added the questions that you had wanted. And, yep, those are two questions. You had asked about clarifying the business contributions to maintenance, the street shape and landscape, and we have modified it that way, distinguishing customer and employee parking. We took out the whole business improvement district thing. It just didn't make sense. Mm-hmm. And State Street Association. So all of the comments were incorporated in here. Some of the comments on the resident one we had changed anyway.
In the instructions, do you give them a deadline date to return this?
Yeah, it's by ...
Okay.
Which is a segue into my next section, okay?
Boy, did we work that one out well.
Yes. There's a, I guess I have to.
Mark, before you leave this section, because we had talked about the business improvement district, and we're thinking, does this mean like getting the grants or the ones that are struggling? And there actually is a whole thriving category of these business improvement districts, and they have an assortment of names, like the official name. And it usually means when you come into town, like, you know, and you see all the little flags up, and, you know, of course we have flags because the merchants have put them up, and the municipality and the business owners work together, and it will basically become the borough being part of the mercantile group in a way and do things together. So I'm not saying you should put it in there. It is the kind of thing that, based on the feedback we get, is the sort of thing the borough could consider doing with the business group.
Yeah.
And it is a possibility of something that a lot of towns do have it, and it's something that we might want to do. But I think putting the question in there, then somebody would have to look it up and decide if they think they're interested and what does that entail.
Are you suggesting we actually go back and put it in?
No, I wanted to come back to that just because, so now you know what it is.
Yeah.
And it's something that we might consider based on our feedback going forward, a bigger project
right.
that would require more explanation than on a survey. So, but it looks great. Thanks.
Okay, I can see that. All right, should I stop sharing this one and start sharing something else? Okay. This is what we envisioned. The wording is going to change, and I've got to look for some guidance here from council. But after... we were talking about what's the proper way to notify the community. And there really aren't, especially in today when you don't have as many people going into businesses, you know, putting up flyers and all that, we thought probably wouldn't be reaching the people. We don't have a email list we can reach people. Well, we do have a limited email list. We have the website that some people go on, but not, you know, it's not that often. I mean, it's not everyone from the borough. And we kept coming around to a mailing being the best way to reach people, not have them do a physical survey, offer it to people that don't have computers, and we will do that. But we kept coming back to the need to actually notify them formally. And then once we do that, it's a question of timing and in what format. There was some discussion that, you know, council has been very interested in getting the survey out quickly. You know, it's and I agree. The survey will not hinder the comprehensive planning effort if we were to get it out in later November, but we can pull it forward as early as a week from now if we really wanted to. But each time has a different cost to it. I went through and I contacted Minuteman Press over on Sycamore Street today. We don't have the 3D next to us anymore. And I asked them what this type of mailing would cost. And what we have here is a mocked up postcard with a QR code, which someone could scan with their phone, and with a URL that they can enter in and click on, that would go out in postcard form to a list of 960 people that we currently will be sending our newsletter to in the end of November. So we have three choices as I see it. And the cost of sending a postcard is 65 cents per card. And that includes postage, pre-production, and printing. You could put photographs, color photographs on it. And if we wanted to take it down to just have something as basic as what I'm showing you here, it would cost 62 cents. So it's like a 3 cent difference, and you can make it really, really jump out at you. And they would work at us in the design. We could put photographs from Newtown Borough, like background photographs in it, and design it that way. And they would do it at a size something like six inches by 11 inches, a postcard that would be there. So we could put a lot of information on there. And the cost of that is 65 cents per postcard. And I had initially thought we had about 1,000 people on our mailing list. We actually have 960, so I wasn't too far off. So we're talking about something in the $650 range for a postcard, and that's a cost that the borough would have to agree to. The three different choices I wanted to go over is a standalone card right now, okay? Or right now or sometime in the near future. You might want to throw it out right after the election, after people stop getting election stuff in their mail, but just doing a standalone postcard. You could also do it in conjunction with the borough newsletter that is hitting the press sometime before Thanksgiving. And you might consider putting out a postcard maybe a week before that goes out, and then have a reminder in the newsletter where it says, you know, in that heading, you've been notified, you should have received a postcard on our borough, our resident and business survey. If you have not yet done so, please go online and complete them. And we could have the same type of QR code and URL on those. So you hit them, it's kind of like a twofer. Still costs you the $650, but you'd be notified hitting them twice. And the third one that's not costing you any more than you're currently paying today is just put it in the newsletter. Now we put it to planning commission members and mulled that over last night. And it was the consensus of the planning commission that a separate postcard might be noticed more by people than the newsletter. The newsletter, someone might set it aside to read later. Remember, it's a 6-month document, right? They might set it aside to be later. And the Bucks County Planning Commission had said that the best thing to do is to give them like a 3-week period to fill out the survey. So I wanted to put this to you because there's two to three options have a defined $650 cost that will be incurred. And I don't know of other printing companies, but Minuteman is one that is used in town, and it's kind of the only printer in town these days, it seems. And that's that. And I also wanted to say, we will take and print out a physical copy of the survey. We were not really comfortable just creating a PDF and emailing it to people to print at home. But we have it. We should say on here, you can pick it up on Borough Hall, but this may be the different version of the thing. But we'll just talk about, if you're unable to complete it electronically, you can contact the borough. And they can call the Borough Hall, and we can arrange for them to pick one up over there.
Yeah, I think Judy planned to have some of it. We had talked about that, just having a few paper copies available for somebody who did not have access to a computer to come in.
So I'm looking for input from council on both the timing and the cost.
Okay, before we do that, just real quick, so we don't forget, we have the only one survey per household, so we'll just want to make sure that we remove that, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I have that noted.
Okay, great, thanks.
I said this card is probably the better place to talk about the only one per device, because in terms of, the URLs, they're going to go from this to the device. It's almost like after the fact when you have it in the instructions of the survey. So this is the more important place to say,
you're 100% right. We don't even need to say it on the other one.
Right.
They're already there by
the other one. If they get on, that means their device is pure. Yeah, so I did make the note about the, on the other, but I'm gonna actually make sure it's on the card and the notification or the notification in the newsletter.
So my only suggestion would be, and it really isn't about when it goes out. I mean, I like this, I guess it was the second suggestion, send them out definitely after the election. And also it's not that I like how simple this is, but I do think this looks pretty official versus maybe getting something with a little too much color and pictures on it. I don't know, just an opinion.
We can have as much or as little. I thought, If we go this route, I'd like to give the printer a chance to give us ideas.
Okay. Yeah, that's time.
Have a photo on the photographs, Borough Hall or something like that, so it looks like a traditional.
Yeah, that was my next question, is if it's double-sided.
Well, one side's going to be the, it's
but out of the ad.
I don't know if it's double-sided, because one side's going to be printed on. We've already given them the mailing list, and it meets all their criteria to get the lowest mailing rates and have a barcode on it. But I think one side is just going to have the return address and the mail address, and then the Indicia, their bulk mail rate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when do you and the Bucks County Commission need to have this information in order for it to be actually useful for the final version of the plan?
Well, the printer can turn it around in.
Now, when do you need it? I mean, not what they can do, but when do you need it by? November, December, January.
Oh right.
When is it useful to you to actually be able to use it, not just get it, but be able to do all the manipulations?
It will not set us behind if we get it in December. If you look at our work plan. And I'm not going to pull up the work plan because I have to close this one out and come back, but I'm going to go back to the work plan.
You stay on this for a second?
Yeah, I'm staying on this, but I'm going to open it for my own purposes.
I would just bold Newtown Borough Resident and Business Surveys. Make that bold so that jumps out on the printed page. With the deadline at the bottom also in bold. Mm-hmm.
Maybe a different typeface like Georgia or Bookman, something.
Well, tell you what, this is just the first draft of this. And as I see it, you will see the final one. It really depends on when you want to send it out, because we have a chance for you to see, you know, a draft, and we can send it over to you and you can go through it even in your, no, not your November work session, but we can send it over and, you know, I'll go over it with Marvin. Marvin can share it with you, but we'll have a chance to go through different iterations and make the suggestions on those. I mean, I've got the note of the bold and the date, and we'll do different fonts. But I always like to see what suggestions they have, because they do a lot of stuff like this.
Yeah, they're really good with that over there. And I do, like, I know they're in the township, but they are quasi-local, so we're still sort of supporting local.
I'm sensitive to what Nicole says about looking too flashy.
Yes.
But I do want to get their attention.
Right. So I would pour the $600 outlay. It's not like it was back when we had to mail the actual survey folded in an envelope. And you need people to know. And I think that's an excellent point about after the election, because right now people are getting a lot of colorful posts that go right into recycling.
Right.
So, I mean, we shouldn't even send these out until at least a week after the election. So it's good to hear that December still works for you. Because that
does.
Will probably push it to, you know, having to have surveys by, you know, even into the early part of December.
Well, that's why we made a real big point at our meeting the other day, is just, would it set us behind if it wasn't until November? But if we decided the twofold one, where we have the survey, I mean, the card go out and then reinforce it in the newsletter, we really don't want it to go out until maybe a week before the newsletter, because we still want to enforce this 3-week response period.
Mm-hmm. Right. Judy, I know we are, you know, we're looking at that step from when everything gets uploaded for the newsletter. So,
yeah.
Where are we, do you think, for when the newsletter would go out?
So here's the thing, right? So I'm looking at the calendar, and let's say the postcard went out the 13th and of November, and we want to stick with what the Bucks County Planning Commission is recommending for a 3-week time frame. That takes us to Friday, December 4th. And we've been...
Now you also got to add in time for people to get the cards.
No, it'll take a day or two. I mean, it's going to the Newtown Post Office. It's all in the borough, so.
But that could be pulled in. I mean, so it could be mailed, say, you know, November 11th, say, or 11-11. That sounds good to me. But at any rate, if we fine-tune what we're getting out to for the newsletter sooner than later, you know, they say 7 weeks. So that's before Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving's November 26th. So say the postcard hits the end of that second week of November, and then the newsletter hits everybody's mailboxes 2 weeks later. And
I don't like that. I'd like, if possible, I'd like to move the newsletter forward so that we send this out a week before the newsletter goes out.
I don't know if we can do this, because we're looking at, like, Judy, you're saying that's 7 weeks out from, like, next week, right?
Well, Judy says she's got most of her copy ready for the newsletter, right?
I'm waiting on information, but I initially had been told that if we had everything over to the printer by October 1st, they were going to guarantee before Thanksgiving. I know that they have a little bit of play in there, but I'm just saying we still need to get some loose ends over there. This being one of them, right? I mean, this was worth waiting for if we want to include this, what we're looking at right now, with the QR codes and all that. We could put that right on the front page of the newsletter.
Oh, that's terrific, yeah.
It's worth waiting to make this decision, which is, you know, for the newsletter. But yeah, I do have a lot of what I planned to get over to them done. There's a couple loose ends waiting to hear from Newtown Mercantile Group or whatever, and not too much. So at any rate.
But I'm just looking at 7 weeks, though. You've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I guess 7 weeks from the first would be.
Yeah, but today's October 7th.
The 19th.
Today's October 7th.
You're right.
Lost a week.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So I'm trying to be conservative with, you know, I'm just saying that last week in November, I still think that we get the newsletter out.
Okay. So we don't have any real hurry to get this out, because I really want to make sure that this hits the mailboxes a week before that'll go out, maybe a week and a half.
And they this, and even if it's 2 weeks, say, then they get the newsletter, they'll get the newsletter, like, oh yeah, that's right, I got that postcard, and it reminds them, and they still have, you know, on 5 to 7 days to...
Yeah, I want them to have, I was just thinking about giving them 2 weeks once they have the newsletter, because they may not read the newsletter right away. I mean, it's the type of thing they're going to keep for a little while.
I think it'd be great if we could get it on the front page so that they see it without opening it.
Yeah, right. Then they don't have to open it. Yeah.
Right, and the notification in the newsletter is going to be slightly different and maybe a little more condensed, because it'll draw attention to what the postcard said. Judy and I can go through that wording in the next day or so. But
okay, that would be terrific, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So does this all make sense? This one at $650 seems like it's in the ballpark. I mean, I don't know if there's a preferred vendor on these types of things, but
it's once every 10 years expense, I think.
Yeah, I think. Mike Clark, do we need to vote on $650? Can we all just say yep, we're good and spend $650?
No, you're authorizing it to be spent. The vote that you'll take on it is when it shows up on a bill list or in an invoice.
Yeah, so you're
right. Authorizing it being spent.
Yeah, all right.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, we don't have to take formal bids on the $650 one. Okay. Well, that then brings me to the end of my update.
Okay. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. And this has been three nights in a row for you. So
yeah, three nights in a row.
You know, we really appreciate it. It's
thank
a lot
you.
Of
work.
And did you want me on the next part of the meeting also, or was Marvin going to go through this or
I think you covered Mark. Did he cover it?
No, this was
for the court and state.
Oh, never mind. Yeah.
It doesn't hurt to have it firsthand as far as I'm concerned. Yeah.
If you'd like to, yeah.
Or I could say what I was going to say, and then you can chime in with any additional.
That's fine.
Okay. So at the Monday Planning Commission meeting, the Planning Commission voted to, and I'll use the term tentatively, approve the final development plan for Courtin State Street. The one outstanding point is the review from the Bucks County Planning Commission, which had supposed to have been generated by a letter from the Courtin Straight Street engineer to tell him to do that, but it didn't quite happen. The expectation of the Planning Commission is that there are few changes to the plan from the previous plan, so they don't expect anything major to come up, but reserve the right if something did. Some of the things that came up that are new were a report from Courtin State Street representatives that they did attempt to add parking spaces in front of the building by actually doing what I'll call a cutout of the curb, you know, pulling the curb back to widen the street somewhat. So they were willing to give up some land space for that. But that even with that, some of the sight lines did not qualify for the parking spaces. So as of now, they do plan to do that you know, pull back of the curb, but not designate them as parking places yet, so that in the future, if there are any, you know, changes to requirements, that space would be available to allow some additional parking.
Yeah, I was really pleasantly surprised on that one, because that was important to me, that they keep those parking spaces in there in case circumstances change in the future.
The second thing is they will be putting in the crosswalk that leads from their side of the street across to the south side of the entry into Steepleview. So the side of the street across from the wine and liquor store, not on the north side, but on the south side, is where there will be a crosswalk. There was some discussion about what sort of signage would be appropriate there. That's still out for discussion, so I won't really say much about that now.
I'd like to talk about that just a little bit.
Okay, and so I won't.
In our motion, we recommended that they actually put in one of these flashing yield to pedestrian signs, because there was some discussion of due to the width of the street there may be an issue with signs in the street for about yields to pedestrians getting hit by snow plows and other vehicles. And we had noticed that on the West Coast, it seems to be more prevalent than around here, but there's these signs that are pressed by pedestrians as they get to an intersection that begin flashing, notifying cars coming in. Now, generally they don't put it on a street where they have a 25 mile an hour speed limit, but we might be able to get, and that's what we're trying to do, ask them to try to get PennDOT permission for us to put such a flashing sign, given the turn in the street, the sight visibility, and the fact that you're entering the downtown business area. So I think this could be something that works with us. It's not something that flashes all the time. It just flashes when there's a pedestrian. It's a neat little new technology.
Now, what occurred to me after the meeting was that there actually is such a thing in front of the Mark Carter Theater going across that University Street in Princeton. Okay.
Yeah, I saw it in Santa Barbara for the first time.
Yeah, but so there is an example
here on the East Coast. They see it.
There is an example here on the East Coast crossing the street at the MacArthur Theater.
Oh, I'm sorry. I interrupted you on that one. Go ahead. Keep going, Marvin.
No, that was it. I was just bringing up that there is actually an example here on the East Coast.
Okay.
Does that PennDOT approval requirement there for that sidewalk crosswalk?
Yes. They have, I mean, one of the conditions of the approval is that they get PennDOT approval, a transportation letter for all the improvements in the street. And they have gone through it with PennDOT, and that PennDOT has given them the nod, but they don't have the formal letter on the street. And that's one of the conditions of our recommended approval.
Okay, thanks.
Because we recommended that, we recommended approval of this final application with certain conditions. One of them had to do with easements. As you may recall on this, there were a lot of encroachments on the property. And we wanted to make sure that all these encroachments are noted and or easements created, because they're going to allow certain encroachments onto their property to continue. And for all the ones that are continuing, we're asking them to create an easement that will be formal and go with the property. Basically, they're giving away their rights to ever claim this property that people are encroaching on again, and they're willing to do that. We asked them to remove their retaining walls that would be in the right of way. There's a retaining wall along State Street that we talked about facing material, and we recommended that they not use concrete, but use either stone sympathetic to the area, kind of similar to that was on Court Street, or brick. And that was in our recommendation. And you'll get this before your next meeting. And an additional arborvitae is going to be put on a property sharing a border with Penn Street. And
Mark, the sidewalk from Court Street to State Street to the crosswalk, is that going to be private property that they have to maintain?
That's private property, and it's technically not open to the public to cut through. I mean, I don't think they're going to keep people from walking through their parking lot, but that's private property. It's the crosswalk on State Street. There's a sidewalk they're building all the way down to that property. There's no sidewalk today.
Right.
So it will be terminating at that property, but they will be maintaining the walkthrough, but it really is still private property. They're not giving us an easement through their property.
We don't want to maintain it.
Yeah, and we haven't asked for an easement either. Is there any other questions on there? On Shade Tree, and they're also agreed that they will be to sign a bond for assurance that the 30-inch tree on the Penn on a friends meeting property will be there during the duration of the maintenance period, and if some branches were to die, they will agree that they would lop them off of the tree. That was a suggestion of the Shade Tree Commission.
And Mark, you talked earlier about the easements, but we will need from anybody where the changes are being made to have that signed acknowledgement letter. So if you know the fence is being changed out or something is being done in either direction.
There was acknowledgement letters and easements if they're going to be continued. Yeah. Not necessarily agreement letters, but acknowledgement.
No, but acknowledgement. So they don't show up to us saying, hey, wait a second, I had no idea.
That's my concern. Mm-hmm. That's my concern. Because they're actually moving some fences and all that to shore up the boundaries and things. All right, and you'll get a copy. I have a draft of the motion, and I'll be sending it over to you probably tomorrow. I got it this afternoon.
So the other goings on at the meeting that I'll for the most part leave until the commission's report comes in is that they did look over the ordinances that we had provided to them and had some edits and commentary, but that'll be reported by the Planning Commission to us.
All right. Any questions for me? Because I'm going to sign off. Debate begins in 3 minutes.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you very much, Mark.
All right. See you later.
Bye. Okay. And then, Marv, I think you're continuing the update from Bucks Beautiful.
Yes. So just to report that there has, you know, actually been contact between Shade Tree Commission first with the application going in and being accepted, and then some discussion with the person who actually will be contributing and planting the tree. So that is moving ahead nicely. And I think Ted is also on the call if he has anything to add.
Ted, you're muted. We can't hear you.
I'm asking him to unmute, but I'm clicking that. It's not doing anything.
Did Ted unmute himself and then you unmuted him, but actually there he is. Now he's going to be fine.
Am I unmuted?
Yeah.
We hear you.
Oh. No, I don't have anything to add. We're not really in contact in a way that we're about to set up a meeting to where the trees go. That's about it. We've been approved to get the trees, but that's about it.
Thank you, okay. Ted.
Okay. All right, next, budget and finance. I'll entertain a motion for the professional services invoices.
I'll make a motion to approve the professional services invoices for August 2020.
A second.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Motion passes. Nicole, that was a lovely visit from Cora. I think we all enjoyed it. So next up, the Septalot.
Oh. I have been in communications with SEPTA concerning the relationship with the borough. We went through the borough's records and found that the last agreement terminated in 2013. Notwithstanding that, the borough has maintained the lawn at the SEPTA lot. And this afternoon, I also found out that we were mowing the grassy area on Chancellor Street between Sterling and the clubhouse, which I never knew of before. So we're discussing with SEPTA a future relationship for us to have utilization of that area without disturbing any potential hazardous area. This morning, we talked to SEPTA concerning the boats and cars that were parked there by neighbors. I spoke to the police this morning. The police contacted the first owners of the Mustang and the old boat. That will be removed. And this evening, I got a call from San Isidro's office. I've identified the owner of the second boat, and the police will notify the owner to remove the boat. Otherwise, SEPTA will come in and remove all of that trespassing assets. So we've begun a dialogue with SEPTA. We are reviewing the contracts for maintaining the property, and I'll report again next month.
Bob, I just want to say thank you so much.
Yeah.
You got a lot done on something I tried 2 years to get done. So awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I used to be the chairman of the Citizens Advisory Board, which is the alternative to the big politicians board. And we got the bicycles on buses and trains. We fixed all the signage. We replaced several stations. And so when you cooperate with the SEPTA management, you get things done, and they're really good people up there. And they're going through a tremendous financial distress. So having us cooperate to make sure the property is safe is paramount to them, so that they don't have a liability and we don't have any attractive nuisances on the property where children or adults can get hurt and then everybody gets sued. So we have a very good start.
And just so we don't reinvent the wheel completely, I did have Ted and I don't know if he's still on here, but we had TNT go through and give us an estimate. This was all forwarded to SEPTA, but of all the trees that are dangerous there too in the SEPTA lot, because that was one of Ron's concerns. You know, when he is over there mowing the lawn, there are like some big branches. And so as you're working through that, please do not hesitate to ask me any questions and I can forward you whatever I already did.
Oh, you're on my list. Thank you.
All right, excellent. Thank you, team.
I have a quick question. Mm-hmm. Are boats allowed to be parked on borough streets for the longer term? My understanding is that one of those boats had been on the borough street and then it ended up in that lot.
I think the answer to that is if it's on a trailer that has a current license, it is essentially a licensed vehicle. But if it's not licensed vehicle, then it's not allowed on the street.
Mm-hmm. And that trailer can be just unhitched and just not attached to anything?
I'm not sure. We check with the
registered, and we would have to double check the ordinance. But if it's registered, I believe it will be as if you had a registered car parked. Now, if it's in an area of where everyone's interested in parking, you know, you could look into it and ask the owner to please move it. But in that case, that area would probably be someplace that had a limited time zone. But if it's if the sticker's not expired, it would be the same as a vehicle. I don't know, Mike, do you have any comment on that without looking at the borough ordinance per se?
Without looking at the borough ordinance, I'm gonna maybe think it may not say what you think it says. I don't think that trailers of this nature are treated the same as vehicles, and you can't just sort of store them on borough property or on, but we can take a look and get a definitive answer for you on that. It'll be very simple to look it up in the code, so.
Yeah. Thank you.
And if you did want to, even if it is silent on it, and you did want to make a restriction on that, you're normally able to do that.
Right, because it is a lot bigger. It's like parking a RV or something like that. Right. Also takes up extra spots.
Yeah.
So Caroline, is this something that you're thinking of, the boat that used to be parked, or is there a boat now that you're concerned about?
A boat? Well, no, it's just I had learned at an earlier time mm-hmm. of the boat on the trailer parked on the street,
yeah.
and that the owner moved the boat to the SEPTA lot. And I think it was in response to perhaps some neighbors speaking to that boat owner. So now I'm hearing that, okay, the boats won't be allowed to park on the SEPTA lot anymore. And I'm curiously thinking, oh, I wonder where that owner is gonna move that boat to next, back on the street or?
Right. Maybe. Right now everything there is very expired and the boats are rather shabby looking, extremely in fact. So,
a Facebook post, right?
Oh, yeah.
Marketplace.
I walked up and checked them out, and it's definitely seen better days. And I briefly entertained the option suggested by Ed to put a big plastic skeleton in one of the seats with, like, maybe a harpooner fishing pole. So I don't know that owner will be wanting to use it, and I don't know how salvageable they are. They've been exposed to the elements for a number of years. Mm-hmm. But I think bringing that to our point and looking at it and being aware of what will the owner do with it and would they then park it on the street, we need to make sure they don't do something that they shouldn't do and bring it back.
Yeah, my point was just to raise awareness.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, sure.
Thank you, Carolyn.
You're welcome.
Okay. Julia.
I know you're still really excited about an e-code review now. Okay, I know a lot got put up on share file through the last several weeks, and there's a long list of chapters, but if you read through the discussion guide, you'll realize that most of them we're not even going to talk about because they're going to get deleted. The first one we're going to talk about very briefly is the chapter 180, the Shade Tree Commission chapter. I put up the revised chapter based on my discussion with the current Shade Tree Commission in August. But then since I put it up, I've also received some comment, and it seems to me that this chapter is really not ready for prime time yet. And so my suggestion at this time is that we continue to work on the Shade Tree ordinance, but that it shouldn't hold up the e-code process and just let it go through the way it is right now. And just so everything gets put up and we can get the whole codification done, but just like we're doing with some other chapters and have done previously with some other chapters, we can make ordinance changes at any time and we can work on that. And when we're ready, we say, okay, this is our ordinance change and then change it. Is everybody okay with that?
I guess the other thing, was there anything in particular that needed to be changed to be consistent with the Saldo changes? I guess maybe we should mm-hmm. proceed with any
of that. No, the Saldo changes, no, really not. No, and then there are some questions and things that probably, I don't want to spend time talking about them right now, but there are some issues regarding some of the wording and also some of the current practice of the Shade Tree Commission that have to be reviewed relative to the Sunshine Act and scheduling and so on. So don't want to spend a lot of time on it now, given the hour, but we should, my recommendation is that we treat the Shade Tree chapter as its own project and not have it like, not slowing up the finishing up this decode process at the moment. Is that okay? All right, yeah. Hearing no objection. All right, alarms, chapter 22 or 220.
What about pools? You have pools at the top.
Well, no, I'm going to go through my discussion guide, which is in order.
And okay, we'll see the discussion guide. Yeah,
okay. Let's look at the discussion guide. Okay. Chapter 220 is the alarms chapter, which was completely out of date. Referred to Bell Telephone Company, it referred to trunk lines that don't exist, and so on and so forth. And if you saw, Valentina wrote a brand new chapter to replace the current chapter entirety. Does anybody have any questions or concerns about it? And if not, we'll just stick that in and we'll send that as a manuscript revision.
Julia, can I ask a quick question? Only because you mentioned something about, sure. I think Verizon, but there's lots of like-
Bell Telephone.
Yeah, Bell Telephone, thank you. There's lots of various wires just kind of hanging from different places like throughout the borough. Like I can think of three or four places off the top of my head on Washington Avenue, on my street, right? And I'm just curious as far as zoning or code enforcement is concerned, whether there's anything in there that addresses these dangerous wires that are just here and there, right? I mean, whether it's at ground level, or hanging down with someone took and wrapped around something just to try to get it out of the way.
Yeah, I know. So I've seen them too, Carolyn. That has nothing to do with the alarm ordinance, but what that does have to do with would be the cable companies. So that's probably an issue that should be talked to the public utilities, the Verizon and Comcast, because that's their wires. So Marv, I think that's in your area, isn't it? I think if Marv, are you there?
Marv, his name is there, or
his name is there. But yeah, that's a separate.
I guess I'm specifically having to do with the franchise renewals.
Right.
Yeah.
But we can reach out to the companies and find out what's going on. But I've seen. I know that there are all kinds of wires hanging. There are wires hanging near my house too. I know that. Like, what are these? Are they defunct or not? And you know, is my phone line being affected? Maybe Judy can figure out who to talk to.
I'm going over the creek at the bridge, the Washington Avenue Bridge, that is interfering with the scenic view of the creek. Yeah, and one's hanging down. Yeah.
I'm thinking of the dangerous ones. That's really, yeah.
Hey guys, with all due respect, this has nothing to do with what's on our agenda. And I have four kids that are waiting for me to put them to bed. So maybe at public we heard someone, I don't know.
Apologies.
That's fine. Okay. So we'll make a note on that, Carolyn, and see what we can figure out. Okay. So the alarms chapter, did anybody have any questions about the alarms chapter?
No.
Okay. Very good. Okay. Chapter 260 is construction codes. You will know that we have adopted the UCC, the Uniform Construction Codes, and that is that actually by adopting the Pennsylvania Uniform Construction Codes also adopts a whole bunch of other codes under them, being plumbing and a whole bunch of others. I also had included a revision to that chapter that takes out references to all sorts of things that are no longer enforceable because they either contradict or we're not following the rules to retain some really out of date practices in the borough. The recommendation is just to acknowledge that we have adopted the UCC and also the sections that talk about our Board of Appeals, which is, that's still retained, which is a board that we have where just like you go to the zoning board, if you don't like a zoning ruling, you go to the Board of Appeals if you have a complaint about the construction codes. So did anybody have any concerns about that chapter?
No.
Okay, great. All right, moving on. All right, chapter 385 is plumbing. We are deleting it. Chapter 400 is propane. We are deleting it.
Question on
chapter
that.
Chapter 434
Julia, question on propane. So, Julia? Muted. Can you hear me? So on propane, Harry give a particular reason for deleting it? Because I was working on that with Mike Italia.
If you saw I uploaded his email responses on the codes, and he stated that the propane regulations are covered in the other codes that we already have adopted. So it is, it's unnecessary because it is covered.
So to the uniform construction or something else? Because it is reasonable.
In the various codes. I don't have his email up in front of me, but if you want to look at what he wrote, there's a bunch of things from Harry Weaver that I put up on share file. And he said that it was
I'll look on it because, in terms of saying, it had the wrong district, but in terms of saying that it would be, in Business Gateway B1, you do have to have some place where it can be done. And that's a reasonable place where, propane would be, since it's for fuel distribution and gas stations in that area.
But that's in zoning. The zoning ordinance allows for that in the appropriate place. The propane act one is talking about it.
That was, on what sort of pad where it gets put and things like that. Yeah.
Right. Those things are covered in other ordinances that we have. The International Fire Code, the UCC, all these other codes include the regulations that cover propane. So that's why this is an unnecessary chapter.
Okay, I will take a double look, but sounds reasonable.
Yeah, if you read through his emails and you have other concerns, just shoot me an email and I'll get back to you on that. 434 is the sewers chapter, which is primarily talking about grease interceptors. And this is controlling what gunk gets sent into the sewers. I had this reviewed by both Harry Weaver at Barry Isett, and I had the sewer authority look at it as well. This is a fairly new ordinance. Their only change needed to be was there was a reference in 434-6 that didn't go anywhere. I actually did some research and discovered that we had actually copied our ordinance from the township's ordinance. And there is the section that's referred to in here is actually a section numbering in the township ordinance, and I just changed it to be the reference to ours of that same wording. So that was the only change necessary to that one. Chapter 492 is swimming pools. That's also being deleted. It's also covered elsewhere. And then we have the last one that has several things for council to weigh in on is 535, which is vehicles and traffic. And I asked the chief to look at it, and he made some comments and recommendations, some of which I forwarded on to Valentina for her review. I can ask her what she has to say about those during this conversation. His first comment was with regard to the section about accident reports, which is the 535-23, and wondering if this paragraph was actually necessary. And that's one that I was sent off to have our solicitor take a look at, see if we need that paragraph in there. Valentina, did you have an opportunity to look at that one yet?
Sorry, I'm just trying to pull it up on my screen. You gotta give me a second.
Sure.
Which comment are you looking at?
Okay, 535-23, it's the subsection entitled Accident Reports.
That's not required.
Okay, so we can eliminate that. Okay, all right.
I have a feeling he's gonna be correct with most of these. I can just send you my answers, or if you want to go through them, that's fine.
Well, we could do that. There are some questions for council's consideration.
Okay.
All right, so then there is a section that prohibits valet parking. Basically, it prohibits valet parking on borough streets and in borough parking lots. And there is a fine currently, which is $15 per vehicle. And the question is, do you want to consider increasing that fine to match a parking violation fine, which currently is $25 if you pay it in 10 days or $35 if you pay it in 30 days?
So otherwise you could get away with a parking violation by saying it was valet parked.
Well, you can't do that. I mean, the valet company would be responsible for paying the ticket. The point, I guess the question is, if somebody, if let's say, for example, Rocco's, and I don't know what they're doing with their valet cars right now, they have supposed to have agreements with private parking lots for all of their valet parked cars. If they should be parking a valet parked car on Liberty Street, that is in violation of our ordinance, and they would... And if we find out about it, then they would be ticketed. So the question is a $15 fine sufficient, which was established, I don't know, 10 years or so ago, or do you want to increase that fine? But you can think about this because, you know, we can make that decision later, but that's a question to think about. The next one to think about is that right now, trucks weighing more than 7,000 pounds are not allowed to be parked on borough streets. And the chief felt that that should be increased to 12,000 pounds because a regular pickup truck is very close to 7,000 pounds. This doesn't, this excludes trucks that are making deliveries or, you know, are actively part of something. It would be someone just parking a car or parking a truck for that length of time.
Or a boat.
Could be, or a boat. Well, a boat is unlikely to be more than 7,000 pounds.
I feel like that's where we would want to look at what are the state standards, what's normal for the roads that are paved the way our roads are paved, what does chief recommend, and like that seems like a thing that the professionals should decide.
The chief recommends 12,000 pounds.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And he talked to one of his officers who does the truck inspections and felt that that was a reasonable size to increase it to.
I would trust the chief's, you know, knowledge. What I would want to see is that it would exclude, say, an actual delivery, whatever the weight of a delivery truck. Yes, they should be able to park temporarily, but
they should be able to park
a delivery truck overnight.
Well, that's the question.
So I don't know how much your typical, you know, say the size of one of those Amazon Prime trucks, they shouldn't necessarily be able to be parked.
Right, like, or a rental.
I don't know how much they weigh.
Yeah.
Okay. Julia, what if you have a lawn service with a giant van that you put all the equipment inside, and that weighs more than 7,000 pounds? Are we going to allow those type to be parked on the street?
Well, they're allowed to be parked on the street if they're mowing a lawn. But according to this, they would not be allowed to park overnight. If you're running a lawn service, I'm sorry.
What if you live in the borough and you have that business? Can you park those trucks on the street?
Not if they weigh over 7,000 pounds.
Then that's the reason for the 7,000 pounds.
But 7,000 means that if you have a basic pickup truck that you own, that is your vehicle, you're very close to 7,000 pounds there. So the question,
why don't we make it 8 to not go to these big trucks?
Right. So we have no technical knowledge about. So I guess the thing is to find out what is the standard now, because trucks got bigger. Mike, do you have any input on this?
Yeah, I think one of the things that you might want to look at is that there is a distinction between my personal vehicle being a big Ford F-350, which is 8 or 9 or 10,000 pounds gross vehicle weight, and allowing commercial vehicles to be parked on the streets overnight. And I think we can take a look at possibly restricting the parking of commercial vehicles to parking of trailers overnight. Obviously, they can be there parked during the day when they're doing their business, when they're doing the landscaping work, or if they're plumbers or electricians or carpenters and they're in somebody's house or business. But you could take a look at that if you wanted to.
Okay. All right. The next item is about all-day parking permits. And here is another instance in our ordinance where the practice has changed and the ordinance never was. So our ordinance states that you can buy a parking permit and you can use it anywhere in the borough. Okay? But the practice is, and based on a resolution that was passed by council a couple years ago, is that we're selling parking permits that are only can only be used in the designated Center Avenue lot. So the question to council is, do you want to continue to restrict where the all-day parking permits can be used or not? Do you want to leave the ordinance how it says, which says that you can buy an all-day parking permit and park on State Street? If you want to be able to designate where that parking permit can be used and that it can't be used everywhere, that obviously can be handled differently. So the ordinance would have to be written a little bit differently to accommodate that. What is council's preference?
Well, I would suggest that reading to be parked in the lot designated by the permit. I think it's best to not have the ordinance specify the Center Street lot, so you don't have to worry about, you know, modifying that. But I think it should be in a designated lot. But I think, you know, stating that the permit would designate the lot is the right way to go.
Yeah, I like that. That way, council and chief can work together, and if and when it needs to be changed, we can do it without changing the ordinance and going through advertisement and all that.
Right, and definitely. I know, and since we don't even own the Center Avenue lot at this moment, you know, it becomes, yeah. Okay, so that was my preference too. So in other words, we don't want the permits to be able to be used any old place. We want them to be used in a designated area.
And also, I just wanted to add, I know it was spoken about that smaller lots even save one or two spots for permit parking. So that there's some more lots down at like different ends of town, like for instance in the Borough Hall parking lot.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that would allow us to do that then by having that flexibility, right?
Yeah. Okay. All right. So we'll work on changing the wording in the ordinance to allow that activity. Okay. The second thing is that according to our ordinance, the permit fee is prorated beginning after January 31st, but right now the practice is that prorating starts in October. So what is council's preference?
I think we should have monthly permits.
Yeah, I agree with Sue.
They're monthly rather than annual?
Prorating.
No, I think that should be an option, and that a monthly one costs more than the annual fee divided by 12, right?
So we could rewrite this to say that we have permits and that they're just established in our fee schedule. Is that correct, Valentina and Mike, that we could just write it that way? Rewrite it so that the ordinance itself is not talking very specifically about the time length of a permit?
Mm-hmm. Yes, and then you could make that as part of your fee schedule.
Okay.
Yeah, we often recommend that you don't put specifics like that in ordinances, that you reference a fee schedule and then you put those things in that's the fee schedule.
All right. Okay, then that's good. Okay. The next one is kind of interesting also, that there are parking spaces in the lot next to council chambers, which according to the ordinance, you're not supposed to be able to park in. Those would be opposite the garage doors. And I assume that the thought was that you didn't want to get in the way of the trucks going in and out of the garage bays. However, these have not been, there's no signage there and people have been parking there. And apparently Scott's not having any trouble getting in and out of the garages. So is council okay with taking this out of the ordinance so that those spaces are no longer considered no parking?
Yes.
That made sense?
Yes.
It's fine.
Okay.
I agree.
Okay. I thought you'd agree with that. Okay. And then there are a whole bunch of 15-minute spaces in front of the 10 Center building, which is now vacant. Do you still want them designated as 15-minute spaces, or should they just become parking spaces like the rest of the lot?
I don't think we need the 15-minute anymore because there's no liquor store.
Can you identify the space? Is that behind Starbucks?
That's where the beer store was.
Yeah, where the liquor store used to be.
Okay.
There's no reason. All in front of that.
There's no reason for 15-minute parking there, nor 30-minute parking on Center between State and Court.
I think Julie would.
Well, you know why we have the 30-minute parking on State on Court, or excuse me, Center between Court and State? That was to permit to have a space available for the flower shop to be able to do loading and unloading. And also so that people were parking there and running over to Starbucks to get their coffee.
But the owner, the businesses there now have asked, can we have people be able to be there longer so they can go shopping and the flower store building is being sold. And so I would agree that we may want to change it. We had a letter requesting that we change that. Yeah.
There's no business.
All right, so do you want to go ahead and change that? Do you want to take that out as a 30-minute spot and leave it as a no longer designated that way?
Or a two-hour spot?
Well, consistent with the other.
Yeah. Make it 2 hours?
On Center.
Okay, so the center Avenue.
And take the 15-minute spots off of 10 Center.
And then remove these, yeah. Okay, all right.
Thank you.
All right, then the next several ones were wording changes for Valentina to review and the violations and penalties to make sure that the wording was up to date. So we don't need to go through that. Were there any other comments or questions on any of these chapters?
Yeah, this is in parking. This would be on page 476. This has to do with where you can and can't park. As Lafayette Street North, 275 feet east of Lincoln Avenue, along property currently owned by Alfred Bomler. And Alfred Bomler owned that property somewhere between 1920 and like 1970, and here you probably know, but I'd rather not define it by the property currently owned by Alfred Bomler and instead by what the parcel is, or however Michelle would like to.
Yes. Okay, Tara, let me find that one because I know you had made that note and I found it.
No, that's a different one. This is a new one.
I couldn't find the other one. All right, and you said it's on page what? 470?
It's a new one. Page 476.
476.
It's halfway up and it's Lafayette Street North parking.
All right, let me see if I can find it here. Okay, here we go.
Yeah, I didn't see it. One either, and I know I saw the State Street one in my physical ordinance.
That one got changed. I couldn't
find
it.
Yeah, the first time around. So that's why I didn't pick up on it. But this one, I don't know. I've not noticed it earlier either. But if we could take his name out and define it, that would be great. Even though it's nice to have a little historic reference, nobody will necessarily know that.
Yeah, I know. All right, let me put a little thingy in there and we'll fix that one.
All right, thanks. Okay. And that's all.
Anything else?
Julia, I have one more.
Okay. Sure.
The brick building at the intersection of Court and Center, a new business is going in there. And if you turn right from Center onto Court, on the left side, there's at least three parking spaces where parking is banned. The excuse I heard was the garbage truck wants to turn right. Well, they're only here in the mornings. That eliminates parking spaces most of the day. I think only having one parking space, you know, no parking from here to the corner of, from Court Street on to Center on that side of the, is adequate. And we can at least pick up one or two parking spaces on that street.
I think we'd have to have like police and chief and engineer just take a look at it and make sure that that's good. Obviously gaining parking where we can is always good, but Julia, do you want to then wait and, on that and see their thoughts for this, for the E-code?
It's not going to slow anything up. If you guys want to talk to the chief and figure it out, I mean, this, these changes aren't going to go to general code until Christmas. So
want me to send a chief an email?
I would say ask the chief, and okay. And then council can cover it. Yeah, no problem.
I do have one other concern that's pretty general, and that's about handicap parking. I don't think that we currently meet the requirements for handicap parking places. It's pretty specific in PA code that you can't like take all the parking places that the borough owns and then say all the handicap ones are here. So like, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think there's one at all on State Street, is there?
But past the theater near Jefferson.
Okay. Yeah, sorry, I meant between Washington and
the business Center. District.
Let me just say something about parking of handicap parking spaces. To be a legitimate handicap parking space, it can't just be a spot on the street. There are all kinds of new regulations about how they have to be cut back into the out of the lane of traffic and so on. I ran into this when I was looking for handicap parking next to the common. And looking at places where we could cut into the right of way, and you have to be able to get the handicapped vehicle off the street. So that's why they get put in parking lots, because then you're not in the way of traffic. So I would agree, we probably don't have enough handicapped parking spots in town, but we have to be very careful when we're designating them, whether we can meet the actual requirements for those spaces.
How did you get the handicapped parking spot at Linton across from CVS? It's right in the middle of the street.
It's not a legitimate handicapped parking space. I mean, it managed to get in under previous regulations, but under new regulations, it would not fly.
Okay, don't tell anybody.
No, we're not.
So one other minutiae, since we've been going over some of them. The ordinance says that there is only one 30-minute spot, directly south of Borough Hall. But there are a couple of signs there, and it's really not clear how many spaces are actually limited to 30 minutes there. So
everything from Veterans Park to Washington on State is 30 minutes.
But that's not according to the ordinance.
Should
it really be? Is it really supposed to be that way?
I'm just telling you what the signs say.
I know. That's exactly what I'm saying, that it's very unclear, because there's a sign one place and a sign another, and it's not clear whether it's between those two signs or two specific spaces. But the ordinance only shows one 30-minute spot directly south of Borough Hall. It says where a loading zone used to be.
Tell you what, Marv, let me look at the number of spaces and the number of spaces that would be operative under those signs.
Yeah.
Because we do need loading areas for the stores on State Street, but farther up, you have more of businesses with 30 minutes to an hour type customers. Okay, so let me count the spaces, count the signs, and I'll give you a schematic. I'll get that back to council.
Okay, that's fine. You guys can look at that and... So we are actually getting to the end of this activity. We have next week, we have some more, let me pull out my schedule here. Some more things that we're catching up on, things that we had to do some rewrites and so on.
and picking up some comments that were picked up earlier. And the only big one we have for next week is streets and sidewalks. And what I'm going to do with that one is send some specific questions again for council to consider. So we're not going to be sitting and reading the whole ordinance necessarily, but there were decisions that council needs to make, and we'll talk about them as part of that one. So that's all I have tonight on ECO.
All right, thank you. Thanks very much, Joya. Okay, any old business? Any new business?
Go ahead, Nicole. Sorry.
Frazier? Just quickly, I wanted to bring up that if you look in your share file, there's going to be information in regards to the Bucks County Planning Commission's a bike trail that they're putting together that they asked me to be on the steering committee. They're calling it the Newtown to Delaware Line Canal towpath, Yardley to Washington's Crossing. So if you can look at, I was thinking about doing the presentation, but it's getting late. So maybe if you guys just want to look at the presentation on your own, and then maybe if you think the public needs to see it, it's about 12 minutes.
Well, I know that you're also looking at bedtime, although I can't guarantee next week. We had a lot on the comprehensive.
Just everyone take a look, and then if they think it's something that the public should hear, it's just kind of in the beginning phase, though.
So. Yeah. Do you want to talk about it next week?
Yes.
What would you like to do? Okay.
Thank you.
All right. So Judy, we'll put that on for next week for Nicole. All right, and Sue?
Yeah, I have a couple of things. First, I just wanted to know what, maybe help is the right word, I'm not sure, what you would like us to do, Nicole, in terms of notifying folks, incumbents, if you will, whose terms are expiring at the end of the year. Our new policy says that we'll notify them by the middle of October that they need to reapply and see if they're interested in continuing to. Do you want us to contact everyone that we're liaisons for? Is that the best way to do that?
So I thought the way that we set it up was that the person
your touch.
Is that not how it's set up?
Right.
Like the first email out to ask. But I mean, yes, any help that a committee person can get, I think. The way I don't have it in front of me, but I thought the way that we wrote it was the personnel committee chair would write the email, contact Judy and the liaison. And then that way everyone's in the loop, and then ask for that person to reply to all.
I think that's exactly right. You're right. I wasn't thinking about that. I was just thinking of the timeline and the fact that we're
right
close to the middle. Okay. Good.
Yeah, we are. Yeah. But Judy, so one thing is we did want to, instead of putting the vacancies like specifically in the newsletter, we're just going to have links. So then as that gets, that was Judy's idea. So then as it gets updated, it can be fluid. And then you're directing someone to a space versus like actual information.
That's good. Yeah.
But yeah, I would say that it would be soon. I guess it did it say mid-October, Judy? That is kind of getting close.
It says October 15th.
Okay. All right. We'll get on it.
Okay. Another thing I just wanted to give everyone a heads up about is that at some point in the past, there was some sort of misunderstanding, and HARB has not been reviewing the Joint Historic Commission's determination of significance. And so we have not, as council, actually been getting CFAs to approve. We've talked about that. That's going to change, obviously, because our ordinance says it, and so does PA law. There are a couple that I'm aware of from this year that I think, personally, we should go back and take care of, but I'm not sure that we need to go back any farther than that. Sounds like it's been 2 or 3 years that they haven't been reviewing these. I don't know if you folks know or not.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly when. I know generally we would get the report of what was the decision that Joint Historic Commission had made on something. So I don't know, Judy, do you remember how long?
Yeah, I think the process changed when shortly after Mike Italia became the zoning officer.
Interesting. It's pretty clear in our ordinance and in PLA that we need to do it. I don't know how long Mike's been zoning officer, but I don't think we want to go back several years. And I'm guessing that the work's already been done.
Yeah, right? You know what? It happened. So I started in May of 2016, and it was, there was some talk going back and forth back then about the proper process and procedure and what should the order of things that should be happening and this and that, and who should be having purview over this, that, and what have you. And so that policy changed, and it was, I want to say, the end of 2016, beginning 2017, somewhere in there.
So yeah, because the way I understood it was always the JHC made the determination, and then it didn't, you're like, they were the ones that were the authority on it. And then once I'm just letting you know, because yeah. I've also been here for over 4 years. But then we at the end of the day still were the ones that approved them though. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know the official COA, but we definitely reviewed every single demolition. The council did.
So I can tell you that you haven't this year. I know that because I haven't presented them. And it sounds like...
Well, there's the DHC folder. I've seen their recommendations.
But right. We as council have not approved them, right? We have never voted on one.
Okay.
And one of the issues is that the determination of significance is open-ended. So if they get an approval to demolish, it doesn't go to HARB, it doesn't come to council, they can do that 10 years later, right? There is no time limit. Whereas if there's a C of A, it's good for 18 months.
Yeah, and putting a time limit on it does make sense. So
the important thing is that the state law states, the Historic Act that creates historic districts and HARB specifically says that certificates of appropriateness must be given or approved, you know, whatever the word is, for demolitions. It's very.
Right. I think we're all, and that's what
we've been doing. It. That's
we're all doing that. To us. So yeah, we're just moving back towards that and making sure we're being consistent.
So my question, and I guess it's really one for Valentina or Mike, is. Do we need to go back to the two that I know of for sure this year? And do we need to go back any farther than that? Or do we just go forward?
I think that we should look into, that our office will look into this a little more.
Okay.
Not completely sure. And there is, there's always a concern when we're supposed to be doing something and we don't for such a long period of time. So we'll look into that and give you guys an answer.
Thank you.
All right, especially if somebody has continued on, for example, on North Chancellor Street, they had permission to demolish the rear part of the wall and part of the side and put an addition on. And, you know, we followed that. We saw that they got the permission from JHC. They went to HARB. They did everything appropriately that way. You know, we voted on their HARB application. They were given a COA and they're following the construction accordingly. And, you know, now their construction is really coming along.
Yeah, I think where things have dropped through the cracks is when it's only a demolition, right?
Mm.
Like a shed or whatever. So most of the time there is some construction associated with it. Yeah. Okay, one last thing. And I'm not sure if a vote is needed or what, but we continue to have some issues with the private driveway that goes south off of Green Street, kind of in the middle, that goes down to the back of the police station. And I would like to put a sign up that says no outlet, kind of like the one at Jefferson Court. And also the sign that says private driveway, residents only, is facing the wrong direction. It's a thing we talked about a little bit with some other signs in the borough. They're supposed to be perpendicular to vehicular travel, not parallel to them. So as you're driving, you really don't see that sign. So I would like to turn that.
I see what you're saying, because right now it faces the road. Because right. I was going to ask Scott if he had, you know, a bigger sign, if he order a bigger sign, and then if you and Bob were good with that, to get a bigger sign at the beginning too, just so it was more noticeable. But if, because it's facing the road, it actually needs to be double-sided and perpendicular to traffic. Okay.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Is that something we need to vote on, or is it just a FYI?
I don't think a vote's required. Again, okay. If everyone seems to be in agreement on it, yeah, it's not an ordinance, so there's not going to be any enforcement on it. But so yeah, it doesn't need a vote.
Okay, great. Thanks. I'm done. Thank you.
Just to give some background on what's happening over there. Apparently, and we're looking at the documents. Apparently, in the agreement with the fire department, we're supposed to maintain a clearing access to the police parking spaces, which means we're traversing private property to get to that back space. But then we don't have to do the final space for the house between the fire department and the police station.
Are you talking about snow plowing, Bob?
No plowing and maintenance. So we're just putting on the table. We'll be back to you after we do some more investigation, but it is not absolutely clear whether we have the right documents in place among all the neighbors as to who has access, who is to maintain, what we're going to be doing to make sure we have access to the police parking areas. No responsibility for cleaning the neighbors' parking spaces. So we're going to be working on that, but that's part of the issue of who has access to that area, including the walkway and the gate. So that's on the table as a over encompassing what is going on back there. And we're not quite sure, but we'll be back to you.
Okay.
I have one more new business, if Sue was through. A resident asked me if there will be any sort of guidance for house-to-house trick-or-treating. I know we've obviously worked on the public events and whether how they would or wouldn't be happening.
All right, Marv, I'm going to say that is something I wanted to talk about next week in under the president's report. And Nicole's been, I've talked to a resident on Liberty Street, and I know Nicole has been away, but now is back, obviously, and is will be able to talk to them, and also as a parent there, and those concerns about Liberty Street. And I've also been gathering some, you know, suggestions and ideas. We've got what the county said and the CDC said and what other people are in the township are doing to try to get something cohesive out and not encourage a whole lot of partying on Liberty Street this year. So that's in process. So if you have any helpful thoughts to get out to the public in general, that would be great. But that's something I do want to talk about next week.
No, next week sounds good. That sounds like plenty of time.
Yeah, and all I was going to add to that too is one of the suggestions made by one of the neighbors is that maybe if we could just put a little patch, you know, just a little like blurb out into the universe, kind of like we do when we, you know, when we talk about Arbor Day, mm-hmm. like just like something very kind of informal, but at the same time, letting everyone know that, you know, we do hope that everyone that chooses to come to Newtown Borough will, you know, follow the what we're putting forth.
Yeah.
Without being too like, we're, you know, Halloween's,
yeah, without being
canceled, but even little things like please respect neighbors that, you know, aren't turning their lights on this year. I mean, it sounds like such a stupid thing to say, but I do think we're in such a weird environment that putting that out in the universe wouldn't be a horrible thing either. Especially like just to like, you know, parents, tell your kids, like, please respect the fact that not everyone's going to be handing out candy this year. I don't know how to say that.
Yeah. But well, we can talk about that because and make sure we, you know, Halloween is great, but we want you to be safe. And Liberty Street won't be like as rocking and rolling as it usually is, sadly.
But it would be general to the borough, not obviously Liberty is a key factor, but you know, it should be a general.
Oh, it would be, but I think it's important to convey to the larger, but we people show up there from all over the place. And so I think Nicole's idea about putting something in the patch is a good idea. And just,
yeah, and I kind of agree with Marv though, like, cause like, I don't want all my neighbors to like be like, ah, but at the same time, the neighbors that I know that have, I've pretty much been trying word of mouth to talk to everyone on our little section. So everyone's on the same page there. So, I mean, you know, they might show up and be disappointed, but I don't know. We'll talk about
it. We'll talk about it. Yeah. Yeah. And not crush dreams, but also make people consider it. So
thank you.
All right. Thanks. All right. Do we have any other new business? Public to be heard?
Oh, hi, Caroline. Yeah. Okay. Hello. I'll be quick. I'll start my video. First of all, I am thrilled to hear discussion of better signage at the entrance of the driveway here. I'm also happy to hear that there's going to be further conversations on trying to address some of the concerns that have been brought forward about the driveway and related items to that. Now, there's I think a couple of coding or zoning items that I'd like to follow up with someone on. Would that be Julia?
Yeah.
Okay, great. And then lastly, I brought this up to council, I don't know how many years ago, but since I heard the word sewer mentioned a few times during the meeting, I just wanted to touch base with this group, if I may, very briefly. The sewer charges that are made and the bills that we get, does council have any involvement in terms of how that's determined or not, or yeah, how that's determined? That's the question. I see heads shaking no.
No, I remember you came before when the sewer authority was there several years ago, and you had concerns about the billing and what to do with it that you used. But I don't remember the specifics. So it was probably like 2014 right. or something.
Well, one of the I'm sorry, Nicole,
have you been noticing higher bills? Is that the concern?
No, the issue is, and yes, it was several years ago that I brought up. The issue is that the rates the sewer company determines don't align with actual water use. And so what I mean is, specifically, I get charged for 10,000 gallons every time I get charged, because that is the lowest amount that they've determined that they can charge people. When in fact, if you look at my water use, I'm using probably on average half of that. So
I think they do have because part of it is just paying for the infrastructure, as it were.
Sure.
But what you're getting then is something that seems like inconsistent. And it might be more clear if they said, here is the standard fee for your infrastructure, and then here's the fee, and keep them separate.
Well, that would be nice. So anyway, it seems as if I wanted to follow up on this, I would do that with the sewer authority directly, is that right?
Yeah, well, we can talk to them. I know that you've had a conversation with them before.
Yeah,
I think it didn't go anywhere.
It didn't. Someone up at the podium said they'd get back to me, and no one ever did. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Try
to.
Mike, do you have any experience in this department? Like, how can a borough advocate for a resident with the sewer authority? You know, we have the agreement with the sewer authority that we, you know, that they are staff there, but they do run their operation. You know, we communicate in terms of the billing and how they do that. Do we have any leverage?
Well, I represent multiple water and sewer authorities, and the incorporating municipalities are, you know, can always offer their thoughts to the authority if they're one of the incorporating municipalities, if it's Aqua PA or if it's Bucks County Water and Sewer. They're not going to listen to us any more than they're going to listen to a ratepayer. So, and what the resident is describing is pretty standard in the industry, that there's a certain flat fee up to 10,000 gallons. That doesn't mean they're billing you for using 10,000 gallons. That means the service charge is built into the first 10,000 gallons. And then after that, you're paying usually by the thousand of gallons.
Yeah, and if I had my way, I'd say lower that so that those of us, that have a lower usage aren't paying as much, quite frankly. That's where I've been for years.
It's not really based on uses. It's based on a service charge for their costs that need to be spread out through everyone throughout the system. Because even if everyone in the system didn't use 1 gallon of water or 1 gallon of sewer, they still have certain costs for their infrastructure, their insurance, their employees, their plants, their chemicals, and that's usually what is in there. I don't know the particular rates that you're talking about, but that's usually what's in there. So that's usually how they calculate.
It probably wouldn't be a horrible idea. Remember we had like the water company come in and just kind of do something to the public in general. It probably wouldn't be a horrible idea to do that in some sort of public forum. Maybe not this year, but in when we're a little less busy with budget and stuff. And then that way we can advertise it, and then people in the public will have a chance. I mean, apparently you went through this already, so I'm sorry if this is what happened. And then they would have a chance to actually speak publicly about it, and then maybe, it can be heard. It sounds like it's pretty standard from what Mike said, but I mean, there's no reason why we shouldn't, as a municipality, be able to just ask for them to come and, just give us a whatever.
That'd be great, just to get details, really, and a better understanding of how the determination is made, especially for those of us that are on the lower end, of the usage. Because the optics right now, right, just from those numbers that you get in your bill, it's not good from where I sit.
No, especially
so thank you.
Like it says you're paying 10,000. Now, yeah, if they said that your first 10,000 gallons are this is your service charge, but it's making it look like they think you're taking 10 gallons, and you're not. So part of it sounds like it's a communication issue. And then how can they, either discount or acknowledge who are not using very much at all, while still paying for their employees and their facilities and, chemicals and all that.
I guess what I'm not sure of is even how big a household you need to have to cross over that 10,000 limit, assuming you don't have an automatic sprinkler system or something like that that's adding into it.
Or four teenagers who shower.
Yeah, I'm saying you're in the bill. I don't even know if you cross over 10,000 or not.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you, Nicole. I think that's a great idea. If that can be arranged, that'd be great.
I will do it.
Thank you.
All right,
Caroline, will you follow up with me next week, please?
Happy to, Bob.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
The other thing to remember is that the borough has places people on the board of the authority. We have three borough members, I think, that are on the board of directors of the sewer authority. So, Caroline, you could call them, talk to all of them. They're listed on in the directory, right?
Yes.
They're on our website, right?
Yeah. What I'll probably
talk to them directly.
We can call too. I know we have Bob Walker's on it.
What I'll probably do is start
Chris Gusty. Yeah.
I'm just going to say, I'll just start an email and I'll add Caroline to it, and then we'll just get them all connected.
That'd be great.
That would be great. And I think that's, and Chris is new to it. I think too, I think that might be something to say, hey, here's a positive change we can make in how we communicate to the ratepayers and how we in the bills, and you know, to be able to hear that and respond.
And actually change their units of measure because they're not accurate. And I've talked to them before and they just kind of went, oh, well. So if you read the bill in the thousands and then they give you gallons, it doesn't, it's not consistent.
That's why I was asking if Caroline, if her bill was higher, because we just had a little something at the baseball field where the bill was higher than it's ever been. So Pat was going to, you know, check it out. So.
Oh, I have spoken with that office over the years and yeah, but anyway, I'll look at the website and I'll watch my emails. Thank you.
Okay, do we have any, I guess you're the only public with us right now. So if everybody's good, we'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you, everybody.
Aye.
Bye, everybody. Good night.
Good night.
Have a good evening. Bye.